Oh, thank you so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Monday. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. If you want to call us, if you want to text us, 312-981-7200 will get that done for you. Hi, Wendy. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Welcome back yourself. You had a couple days off.
Yeah, and it goes by really, really. I mean, I'm not complaining. I like a day off every now and then, but it flies by so fast. It's amazing, isn't it?
These days fly by quickly because the holiday season has kicked off.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I like to just cuddle up and talk to my family.
I like to do the same. I like to cuddle up and talk to your family.
What does your family do?
I don't cuddle with them. I cuddle up on the couch and talk to them. And I don't know. There's something about family and the holidays that make these days off go way too quickly. I just want to hunker down and open presents.
Right. Well, start doing that.
First, I have to cyber shop. Happy Cyber Monday, by the way.
Happy Cyber Monday to you and to everybody who celebrates Cyber Monday. I'm always tempted. I know I've told you this in the past, but if you work in a building that does a holiday display, and the Tribune Tower does, there's a beautiful tree and there's presents underneath. And I have the urge to open those presents. And I know it's just empty boxes inside, but the urge is there.
Do it.
Nah, they get weird about it.
I like to wrap, so this will be perfect. You can unwrap nothing, and I'll get to rewrap them.
When I was a kid, the tree that we had there was a set of 6 ornaments that were wrapped Christmas presents. And I opened them one year, and it was just styrofoam cubes inside with beautiful wrapping on the outside. But I opened one, and I went, it's a styrofoam cube, but they can't all be styrofoam cubes. So I opened the second one, and about 5 or 6 in, I realized they were all styrofoam cubes.
Did you get the wooden spoon from your mom?
No. She found it intriguing.
God, she put up with so much from you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, really.
But she said, like, by the second one, you didn't figure out that that's kind of what you were going to get and all. And I go, I figured, I knew the word decoy as a kid. I figured the first or second one was a decoy. She goes, who would do that? Why would you? Why? But
that's
I'm always
cute.
Tempted. You know, they look so beautiful, the fake boxes. You go, who would just put wrapping paper on a box? But that's how it was more times than not.
How old were you? In your teens at this
23.
Point? 23. Oh, 23.
Yep.
I think you would have known by then.
Just out of college.
It's so funny because you have the same sarcastic attitude that your mother did. Because when I do something, you're like, you really didn't think if you stuck your finger in a live light socket that it would shock you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought that.
Just wanted to prove my theory.
Right.
Well, she knew because I did the same thing with the Easter egg tablets. Is that every year the good people at Paz make those Easter tablets that you put in water, and I figure they look like they must taste like candy, but they don't taste like candy. They taste like zinc.
Weren't you drawn to the vinegar too?
Yes,
and it smelled good.
Oh,
I love vinegar.
Nice color. Did you want to taste that?
That's my favorite salad dressing, and when the salad's over, I drink the oil and vinegar out of it.
Yeah, that's a good finish.
I really do. My kids do that, too.
And then you cuddle with your family.
But the Paz, you know what they reminded me of? Those red tablets you'd get from your dentist that you would chew, and then you'd have to brush all the plaque is soft, tartar's hard, so you'd brush it until the plaque was gone.
It would magically show you by turning red which teeth you weren't spending enough time with.
And do you realize you had to brush for like 20 minutes to get the red out? So that's why they did it.
Right. Well, the Paws, they're a cross between. They look kind of like Sweet Tarts or Smarties or Fizzers or Fizzies.
Spree.
Yeah, they do.
A little bit.
They do.
Not as shiny as a Spree.
No, more of a dull finish. But still, you say to yourself, They look like they come in 8 delicious fruit flavors. They must taste good. Was I really gullible or just curious as a child?
I'll say curious.
Let's go with curious.
You're gullible as an adult, curious as a child.
Right. But I think it's gotten more intense as I've gotten older. Because every day now, I'll pass those presents and I'll think to myself, well, what if I open one? Would that kill anybody if I just sat under the tree and opened one?
But wouldn't you feel bad because they're not for you?
I know. No, I feel worse because there's nothing. I know for a fact it's an empty box inside. There's no way they really wrapped cool things under the tree. So how stupid would I be to just sit there? Although I bet a crowd would gather if I just sat there under the tree. It's Christmas! And just started opening up the random gifts.
Security would whip out their radios.
Right. Is it left again? Yeah. He does this every year.
Maybe it's charitable gifts that are under that tree.
No, it's not, because they have a scheme, like there's a color scheme to the wrapping. They're all blue and silver.
I do that, and there are real presents at my house.
Yeah, but you got the loved ones you cuddle with. This is a place of business. There's no cuddling to be had here at Tribune Tower.
Can I just thank Chef Hans Aschbacher, who you can find at the Chicago Cut? He gave me, and we posted it, the recipe for a dry brine for your turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, this is the best tasting turkey. I was like you. I was getting sick of turkey.
Oh, yeah.
This was the moistest. I know that's not a word.
The most moist.
Yeah. That's funny to say, though, the most moist. But moist is a terrible word.
Ask Donnie Most what he thinks of it.
Most moist, moist.
Yeah.
Best turkey I have ever had. Ever.
So there was flavor?
Absolutely.
That's what always seems to be missing.
But imagine this. I shoved vegetables in its cavity. And
how did it enjoy that?
It moaned.
Was there any resistance?
No.
Where are you going with the vegetables?
Can you do one more onion?
Please
do. I think I have room.
That's not a parsnip, is it?
But the Lowry seasoned salt and pepper and salt and garlic powder,
that
honest
works?
To God, it was the best turkey I've ever had in my life.
It sounded palatable when he was describing it.
It gave it flavor because you think about it, you know, you put a couple of herbs on top of your turkey and nothing like penetrates the skin. This
right.
just got in there and was really, really good.
Yeah. And that made for a good Thanksgiving.
My house was clean.
How long of a cleanup after dinner?
I got to be honest with you, Jim did everything.
Did he? That's crazy.
He is.
Good for him.
I do all the cooking. And
does he dress like a Star Wars character when he's doing it to motivate himself?
He has never dressed as a Star Wars character ever.
How come Qui-Gon Jinn is cleaning our turkey this year? He just is.
Qui-Gon Jinn. He has never dressed up, okay? Ever.
Okay. As far as you know.
No, I know. He's not. He doesn't dress up. I'm glad he doesn't, actually.
That's better that he doesn't. It's
yeah.
better. All right, let's do this. A quick break and then a lot more show. Tony Fulmer will be by later on to help you with your holiday plant needs. Eric Zorn will be by later to not help you with your holiday plant needs. He'll talk about other things, I would imagine. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. As I mentioned before, if you want to call us or text us now or at any point during the show, 312-981-7200 will get that done. You can call or text or both.
I want to tell you that 3 to 4 people, I'm not sure if there are 4, used Chef Hans's brine and it worked for them.
There's no question about it. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, but he knows how to cook. It's different when, you know, a cook tells you, here, do this and have it turn out. So thank you for that. A lot happened over the holiday weekend. Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
You know, I normally do not, but Reese wanted very badly. She went with friends in the morning, and then she said to me, do you want to go to Oak Brook, which is nowhere near us, but it's so
near
festive.
Me. You should
it's
have called you. Me. I would have met you.
It's so. Have you seen it in recent years?
They oh,
really,
yeah.
It's stunning what they do in the middle. There's a big house where Santa Claus is, and then they set up kind of like a small Christmas village of little pop-up stores. There's about a dozen of those.
The Santa house, I believe, is right by the Blackhawk store.
It is very close.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
and
beautiful
the
there.
So we shopped there for about 3 hours or so. You know what happened that was really cool? We were in one of the stores that she wanted to... You know, she goes mostly for gifts for her friends.
Oh.
And yeah, it's mostly clothes.
She is such a nice girl.
She's way ahead of the game.
You sure she's yours?
No. I doubt she's mine. She's really pretty. She's very smart, very caring. All right, so there was a song on. One of the stores had their own Christmas mix, right? And it was stuff you've heard before. And then there was this one song that was great. So I said to her, I know this is a new song, but I don't know who. Do you have any idea? No, and she goes, no, but I can find out for you. And then she did that thing with her phone where she says,
Shazam.
"What? Yeah, that's the one. She goes, what song is this? And then she holds it up, but it wasn't reading it properly. So I really love the song, and I'm trying to remember the lyrics so I can go home and Google the lyrics, and I couldn't. So then what I did is I came home, and I Googled Christmas playlist and that particular store name. And it showed me all the songs that they play at holiday time, and I found the song.
Are you sure they just didn't have the light on?
No, I'm positive. Because usually you hear Delilah get on from time to time and tell you about her kids.
She ruins my Christmas.
Delilah ruins Christmas. But isn't it? We live in an age of miracles. I hear a song
it
I like, I go
great.
To my computer, and it's 10 seconds later, I know what the song is.
We have been listening to Christmas music in the car because Dylan demands it. Because as soon as it started, He's Mr. Christmas. I thought you were Christmas boy.
He likes Christmas more than I do.
Oh, my God. It's like crazy. He already has lists put together because his birthday is December 13th, mm-hmm. so he gets double the fun mm-hmm. or less. I don't know which way to look at it.
I would put my money on double.
Yeah, because we all feel guilty that right. there are 2 days back-to-back right. like that.
I think our generation realized that for hundreds of years, kids that were born anywhere between Thanksgiving to New Year's Day got ripped off, so now we overcompensate, don't we?
Probably.
So that week of Christmas, it's Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for everybody, obviously. Then recent Kylie's birthday is December 28th.
Oh, that's
Terry's
right.
Terry's is on New Year's Day. So it's a barrage of holidays all within an 8-day span.
You better start shopping now.
I know.
It's good. Get some all over with.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Steve. Yes. Well, it's easy to remember.
None of these sporadic holidays.
No.
Well, you're all the holiday Lump season because you're November. Boy, yeah. you're all the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the girls have the same birthday?
Yeah, they opted to, because they're twins and stuff, go with the same birthday.
I just wanted to give it back to you because the funniest thing, I love watching your face because when someone comes in here and they say, oh, do you have kids? Yes, I have two girls. Oh, how old are they? And you're like 19 and you pause
yep.
and you wait for them to go, oh, are they twins?
And
you
then
do
I
that
tell
every
them, no.
time. I know.
I say they're not.
No, you say conjoined twins.
Right.
It's kind of funny to
it's
watch.
It's fun
you
to
at
say
work.
That because you never know how people react to that. So it's you. A lot of times it's frolicky horror. Like, oh, how cool to have! Ooh, like that. I do want to quickly address the Fidel Castro thing.
Yeah.
Because the irony there is that I don't know if you know this about Fidel Castro. He was the original choice to play Carol Brady.
God, he didn't have good enough hair.
No, that's what they did a test. They did like some test footage, and they said that it wasn't believable that he could be Eve Plum's mom.
Did you rehearse this over the? You can't even say it with a straight face.
Yeah, I rehearsed it.
Have you seen the Brady Bunch still? You know how they all were in the arrow, the tic tac toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a bunch of the pictures, and there's Alice now in Florence, and they've got the X's
tic-tac-toe,
through there.
Tic-tac-toe, oh, yeah, because no. it's straight down the middle.
Oh.
You got Florence, you got Alice, you got Robert Reed.
Yep. Robert Reed passed away decades ago.
A long time ago, yeah. And Sam the Butcher is also gone.
He wasn't in the tic-tac-toe, though.
Right. Because he was just a semi-regular.
You sure Fidel Castro didn't go for that part?
Wait, maybe that's the part he went for, was Sam the Butcher. You're right, Wendy.
I think he went for Greg's part. And then all the boys would have those hats on.
Right.
Instead of having the perms when it was perm season.
Right. That's true.
It really is sad, and I thought of you immediately. Because here's the thing. Was it like a week ago she went on Dancing with the Stars to support Maureen McCormick?
I think it was a little longer ago than that. I don't watch Dancing with the Stars. But
I remember reading it, though.
It couldn't have been long ago.
And,
yeah, it was
I
pretty...
mean, how old was she? 82?
Yeah, yeah.
And she seemed to be in great health and great shape.
Yeah.
So it just baffles me.
Well, you know it's coming at some point, obviously. But she's one of those people that, you know, because the show is on constantly, you always think of her from 40 years ago.
But like, have you head, seen her lately?
Yeah, she looks great.
I mean, fantastic. So it's not like she was in ill health.
No, not at all.
I don't like this.
Not at all. And Ron Glass from Barney Miller died, and Fritz Weaver died.
Who's that?
What would you know Fritz Weaver from? He's been in a ton of movies. Did you ever see The Demon Seed?
Oh, yeah, I did see The Demon Seed.
He was
Seed.
In that with Julie Christie.
So there's your third person then, right?
No, there were like there were four or five.
Are you counting Fidel Castro?
I always count Fidel Castro. Yeah. I always count Fidel Castro. I wonder how this will change. Like, you know, we've made great strides with Cuba in the last year.
I know.
So I wonder what the long-term effect. I mean, his brother Raul is still running the country.
Will it be better or worse?
My guess is better.
Well, remember, there are a couple of changes because there are changes coming here, too.
Yeah,
and
right.
The Obama administration had expressed a willingness to open things up, and we don't know yet what will come from the Trump administration.
I got questions about this recount that's going on, too. I really do. Jill Stein put this forward because
right.
I know there was a deadline, and Hillary, if she wanted to recount, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but when Donald Trump kept saying, you know, this is rigged, everything's rigged, and then everybody was so completely turned around between what the polls said and what actually happened,
right.
Who's to say it wasn't rigged? And now there's some speculation that that happened.
Right, right, right.
Well,
right.
It's pretty weird.
Well, there are people who want to look at the recount. I don't know that there's any credible evidence of there being problems.
But, I mean, really, they could recount and come up. I mean, who's that honestly going to help?
Well, I don't know.
It depends on what they if they find anything. If they do the recount, it's still...
Okay, let's say they find... What did she lose? Hillary Clinton lost by, was it 10,000 votes or so in Wisconsin? It was pretty close.
Yeah.
It was pretty close when it comes down to
it. There were three states, they said, Steve, would be the ones that they would be the first to look at should there be a recount.
That's the point. It would be almost unbelievable that a recount would... make up 10, it could happen, but they would make up 10,000 votes in Wisconsin. If it did, then they'd have to go to Michigan, where it was closer. And if it did, then they'd have to go to Pennsylvania, where it was a much wider gap. I mean, I think the idea that the election is going to be overturned, well...
is ludicrous, but anything goes saying, this
right,
year.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I just don't, I don't see that happening.
And how could you take that away from him now?
Right.
I don't know how you could. I mean... It would be such a remarkable turn of events.
Psych! You can't do that.
Well, they said the same thing about if for some reason the Republican... I don't remember the exact process, but they said if for any reason Trump is denied the office, then you have a revolt. Then you have an uprising because people would say, hey, we went through all the motions of doing an election the way you told us to, and then the person we picked electorally is still not being nominated.
There's already a revolt going on for the people against Trump. So.
Well, that's petered out a little bit. But, you know, the other thing is you now have Donald Trump tweeting that he would have won. Talk about voter fraud, right?
Yeah.
So you've got Jill Stein looking for voter fraud in Wisconsin. And then you got Donald Trump saying he would have won the popular vote had all the illegal votes not been counted.
I know.
And there's no
proof to that.
Not a smidge that there were 3 million illegal votes and that they would have all gone to him, or 2-point-something million.
To the people who voted for Donald Trump because you wanted to shake it up, and a lot of people did, and that's all right, but enjoy the shakeup because it's happening.
Let's do this. We need to take a break. We'll do a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. Tony Fulmer will join us to talk about plants, Eric Zorn, and a lot more. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Let it grow, let it grow. Let it blossom, let it flow.
Such a beautiful Eric Clapton song, and now it's the theme song for Chief Horticulture Officer for Chalet Nursery, Tony Fulmer.
Hello, Tony.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, winterizing your yard. You can still plant things, can't you, or is it way too late?
Most things, you could still do trees and shrubs if you wanted to. Most perennials, I would say, were finished for the year on that.
What about bulbs?
Bulbs, you can absolutely. That's a great point. Bulbs, you can still do those right up until the time the ground freezes.
And Tony, if one bulb goes out, they all go out at this time of year, don't they?
It depends upon the bulb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
We had a giant ash tree taken down in our backyard, spent a ton of money to get it taken down.
You personally?
No, we got someone.
Service.
Oh. Yeah, it was too big.
I wasn't sure if this was someone texting or calling in.
No. Me, personally.
Okay.
And so once it disappeared, we realized we could see into the neighbor's house, and it's like we had to find something to block where that tree was.
Mm-hmm.
So we planted something called a fringe tree. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, I think I am.
I recently found out about these things. It's just some of the foliage on it looks like white fringe, kind of.
That's the flower in the spring.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, not the foliage, the flower in the spring. But it was kind of difficult picking out a tree when it looked like it was dead because, now if you go by a tree, there are no leaves on it.
What kind of height are you expecting from this?
They said up to 15 feet because we have power lines.
Oh, okay.
And so it has to, there was on a list of things. But they said to water it, so I have been watering it, but now that it's cold, we've unhooked our hose. Do I still have to keep watering it?
Bucket Brigade.
How do I get a hold of them?
No. You go to the garage and get your 2-gallon watering can and you schlep the water back there to it.
So I still have to do it?
It's really, really important when you plant later like this. We're having a fairly dry fall now. We're supposed to get almost an inch of rain between last night and tomorrow, so that will help. But up until the time the ground freezes on a new plant like that, it's really important that the ground freezes moist and that it's mulched, right?
Yes, they mulched it.
Okay.
I would not have
it
done
it. It is mulched, yes. Ceanthus virginicus, yes.
Wait, you just spoke in tongues.
I know, I look at that.
What did you say?
That's what Wendy bought.
Oh, really? Oh,
Ceanthus virginicus.
Are you insulted that Wendy asked you if you had heard of a fringe tree?
Not at all.
What plant do you not know?
A lot of people have never heard of this. Is it a good choice for... Well, it's too late now.
Well, no. Interestingly, we consider it more of a large shrub. So if 15 feet will give you the screening that you need for the neighbors to hide your activities in the backyard, and whatever those might be, then it's fine. Ironically, in Ohio, they have now found that was a member of the ash family. A professor has found 7 or 8 or 9 cases of this plant with...
Ash borer?
Yeah.
So I just got rid of an ash. I feel like an ash.
Congratulations.
It's very rare. So you wouldn't expect, as long as there are ash trees out there, because they want things with big diameter. So
they'll stay away.
I'm
probably
out.
Stay away.
Yeah, all right.
But ironically, it's in the ash family, so there have been some reports in Ohio of it getting ash borer, if there aren't ashes around for the...
Wouldn't that be just a hoot and a half?
Good for you.
All right, so, Bill, I don't know. Our neighbor was out cutting the grass yesterday, and we kind of blew that off, but that's maybe a good idea to do now, huh?
It is. To me right now, that is one of the most important things that could be done, along with watering new plants, would be leaves are dropping really late this year. And for those that have had it happen in the past, they won't let that happen again. When leaves drop and they freeze in the lawn and stay there all winter, next spring when they thaw and you go in and you do the first mowing or you do your spring cleanup, every place you have a clot of leaves like that, you're going to have bare soil. And out in the sunny areas of your lawn, that's where crabgrass is going to start.
So don't leave leaves.
Don't leave
There's
leaves.
There's no way in the world that that's good for your lawn. Make sure you have those picked up as regularly
as
you can.
Even if you're not mowing, you really need to keep picking up the leaves and getting those out to the street or compost pile, whatever you do with them. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
That's huge.
All right. We'll keep that in mind.
We have a question. Can we go to the phones?
Please.
Tony Fulmer's here, Chief Horticulture Officer for Chalet Nursery. Gloria, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. We have 2 buckeye trees, and neither one of them will put on any buckeyes. What are we doing wrong?
Oh, that's an interesting question. How old are the trees?
You never ask a lady how old her trees are, Tony.
I thought that was safe. I thought that was a fair question. Oh, okay.
No.
Over 15 years old.
Really? So they're what, 15 feet tall?
Oh, no.
Oh. Did they start quite small?
Yes.
Okay. That may just be a function of age then. How big are the trunks?
That's a personal question.
That is personal.
I'm sorry. Well, these are the questions your doctor has to ask. About what size?
Never mind.
I'm sorry, how
about the size of my wrist.
Okay. You should probably be expecting buckeyes on those in the next few years. But if you started out at a really young plant, that is a function of age. So all you can do is
bloom.
Be patient. Right?
They bloom really pretty. Our hummingbirds love the blooms. And they will put on a little round buckeye, but it never matures and it falls off.
Oh, so you are? I thought you said you hadn't gotten any fruit. So you are...
I am getting some fruit, but they don't last very long.
Okay, when are they dropping?
About 3 weeks or a month after they get done blooming.
That doesn't seem right, Tony.
Okay. I really can't say. If off the air, if you want to give Kevin, the producer, your phone number, I will research that, and I'll be glad to check on that and call you back.
Okie dokie, thank you.
All right,
thanks, Gloria. Buckeyes are flowers, right, Tony? Is that what they are?
Trees.
It is a tree that flowers and produces that nice mahogany-colored fruit.
Oh, all right.
Shall we take a break?
Yeah.
312-981-7200 is the number to call if you have any plant questions. Can we get into maybe some Christmas comments as well?
Sure.
He's Tony Fulmer, Chief Horticulture Officer for Chalet Nursery. That's at 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette, or you can go to chaletnursery.com, a pretty great website if you ask me. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
Well, I beg your pardon. Well, I never promised you a rose garden. Ran along with the sunshine.
Chief Horticulture Officer for Chalet Nursery, Tony Fulmer, has joined us, as you do several times a year. And it's important to get your yard ready and plants, new plants, plant bulbs now. Got to water them. What else do we need to know? What about Christmas? What are the holidays going to do for us?
The biggest thing is making the right selection of the Christmas tree. And, you know, if you're the person that has your tree up for a month, then don't get a balsam.
Do not
get a balsam.
Because they go bad quicker.
They
right?
expire.
They go south quicker.
They do.
They have a very thin needle, and they have great fragrance, but they shed very quickly in a hot house.
All right.
So the biggest cause of holiday divorce is is the tree stand.
It is, yeah.
It is the tree stand. It is getting the tree in the stand. Mm-hmm. And that is a problem, because people always look at the beauty of the tree, and then they get the tree home and they have a stand that's too small.
Oh.
And then they try and make it into a pencil point and make it fit. And then over the course of the years I've been at Chalet, at least once a year, you get a call from a family the night before Christmas, and they are trying to figure out how to guy wire the tree up just to get it through Christmas. So, you know, always, always, always look at the stand and make sure the stand is going to fit, and make sure that when you look at the trunk of the tree, and there's an old physics thing, which I never took physics, but you're going to displace space when you put that in there.
Right.
So just because it fits, if you can't get a tablespoon or more of water in there, then that's going to be problematic and the tree's not going to be fresh.
All right.
So we no longer recommend using any kind of additives, because we haven't been able to find any research. So we've stopped selling them because we can't find research that any of those additives keep the tree fresher longer.
Oh, interesting.
So the big thing is, within an hour of the time that you're going to put the tree in the stand and put it inside, you want a fresh cut. It doesn't matter how small, just even a quarter of an inch, just like a cut flower, so you have a new row of cells that will absorb water.
Mm-hmm.
Get it in the stand, and then that first week or so, check it morning and evening, because if you let that stand go empty, if the reservoir dries out, and you get air in under there, it seals off, and it will never take up water for the rest of the time it's with you for the holidays.
That's why I go artificial with tree time. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It sounds like a big pain. Although there are people that refuse to get an artificial tree.
They're candidates for both.
Yep, absolutely.
There's a person for both.
I don't know how we're going to fit in all these questions, but let's try as best we can. Jerry's on the line. Jerry, Tony Fulmer here. You had a question for him?
Yes. I have three lilac bushes that I would like to transplant.
Okay.
Is it good, bad?
Have they been in the ground quite a long time, Jerry?
I believe so. I just moved into the home, and there's three lilac bushes in front.
Okay.
And I'd like to move them to the back.
Okay. It would be better to do that next spring. So what you could do now is, the root system has really grown out and dispersed. You could go out and with your spade right now while the ground is still soft and decide how big a root ball you could physically deal with next year, and put the spade down one full depth. We call that root pruning. Go all the way around the plant, and as long as the soil temperatures are above 40 degrees, you'll be getting new root growth back in there toward the center of the plant. And then as soon as the ground warms in the spring, you can transplant them.
Okay, they're about 4 foot tall now, so about how big of a root ball do you think? I mean,
handle? You probably want
Bigger's better for a root ball?
Oh, absolutely. You probably want it at least 20 to 24 inches in diameter. So
okay.
I would go out at least 12 to 15 inches in radius on either side of the center of the plant.
What good advice.
Okay, I should be able to do that.
Thank you.
Good
luck.
Very much.
Good luck, Jerry. Boy, that is a great, you can like kind of prepare
root
the root ball, basically,
for
transplant next year.
Yeah, because after they've been in the ground, the roots are all over, and so you still have a chance by severing, you'll still get formation of roots until the ground freezes.
Can you do that with the Rose of Sharon, too?
Yeah, of course.
All right, good to know. Nancy has an herb question. Legal herbs?
Hello. Of course.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. You know, I try to overwinter several herbs, you know, rosemary, basil, thyme, and sometimes it can be such a struggle to keep them healthy.
It is.
Do you have any suggestions to give them an optimal indoor environment?
Well, the optimal indoor environment would be different. So basil is really tricky inside. You need warmth. You need, you know, consistent 72-degree temperatures, and you need really, really strong light. So it almost has to be a south or west window where you accumulate at least a half day of direct sun. Rosemary, on the other hand, where most people succeed with fail with that is they have it in a room that's too warm. So you've got this contradictory thing where basil likes it warm and rosemary likes it cool. So the rosemary, you would like to get the find the coolest spot that you can in your house, and that could be down in the 60s would be fine. Keep it evenly moist. High humidity would be a good thing, and bright light is important. Maybe not as much sun as the basil, but herbs can be very tricky inside.
And for time, sometimes that just dries out.
We're almost out of time, by the way. So
okay. All right. All right. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Really good suggestions.
Good luck.
Thanks, Nancy. All right. Do you have to trim back rose bushes? What, somebody just trimmed their hydrangeas? Is this a bad time that they did it?
I would typically tell people to wait on hydrangeas until spring. Let them go through the winter. Enjoy this year's, you know, faded blooms on there. And you can
it's
go in
March.
It's
kind of cool when it's snowy and you just see these little straw.
Winter interest.
Softballs.
Yeah. Martha Stewart made that acceptable years ago.
Tony, is it poinsettia or poinsettia?
Poinsettia.
All right.
I don't like it. I'm not going to say poinsettia.
Wendy refuses.
And I'm not going to say February either.
How about that?
Well, she's always kind of been a horticultural anarchist.
Yes.
He called me a whore to culture.
Yes, she did. Yep.
Well, you are the chief whore to culturist.
I am.
Chief horticulturist.
You played right into that, Tony.
Sure. I walked right into
it. I'm proud of you and embarrassed for you at the exact same time.
He's
That's
Tony,
my life.
Tony Fulmer, he's awesome. He brought us a little gift. I thank you for
that
the...
That was so nice of you.
You're welcome.
These are little rocks that I put in my dog's water bowl, so when he goes outside to relieve himself in the springtime, it won't leave brown spots in the grass, correct?
Just as we talked about the last visit, exactly.
We'll That's what he gave you? He gave me a big box of cash. That's weird.
Crap. We know who he likes better.
Oh, I got the bag switched. That's my
mistake. No.
Go visit him at Chalet Nursery, 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. It's big, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. It's great to go in there this time of year. You can call them at 847-256-0561 or visit chaletnursery.com. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Bye, Tony. Say hi to Basil and Rosemary for us.
I will.
I miss those guys. They're the best. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. At the beginning of the show, I was telling you how on Black Friday, a day that I never shop for obvious reasons, it's insane.
You didn't need a new TV?
No. Did not need a new TV.
Or a juicer?
And even when I do need a new TV / juicer, have you seen those from LG?
Yeah. Oh, I got to get one.
It's an HDTV and it has a juicer in it. Even when I do need one, I would rather go on a day where you can just go and buy it and not stand in line.
I love going out on Black Friday.
You're kidding.
Really? No, I really do.
Do you really?
What'd you get?
I'll have plenty of time to shop for other people, so I bought myself some clothes.
You deserve
things
it.
Things like that.
You work hard.
I think I do.
You're the only one I know who goes out on Black Friday to buy clothes. Usually it's like electronics.
No, people do.
No, my wife and I used to, we started doing it when the kids were younger and we'd be at my parents and, you know, they would watch the kids on Friday morning after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So we would just kind of go out to get a break.
That's fun.
And started it, and now we went to Northbrook Court and all kinds
and
of...
And did some shopping, huh?
Lines
Northbrook Court, for some reason, is never busy. Even at the heart of the season,
really?
It's just never busy. It's amazing.
Brother-in-law went out.
I know it's in a predominantly Jewish area, so that plays into it a little bit.
Well, there are big numbers on both sides.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people around there.
Right.
But, it wasn't packed.
I never go there. It's way too far for me.
Is it? Yeah.
But my brother-in-law went out. He left our house on Thanksgiving night to go get a TV and got a great TV and saved $400.
Oh, that's not bad then.
And I think he wanted to get away. This is Jimmy Katsifaro's.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Sheila's husband.
All right. So here's the quick version of this. My daughter and I are shopping at a store whose name escapes me. I'm trying to remember. It starts with an A. It's a girls' clothing store. What is it?
What did you just say, Kevin? Say it on the air.
Aritzia?
No, it's not Aritzia. Anthropology.
Okay, I'm embarrassed for you, Kevin.
There are... I know.
I only know from shopping myself.
Listen, here's the girls' shopping stores that all start with an A. You have Ann Taylor, you have Aritzia, you have Anthropology, you have American Eagle. There's like six or seven. We just went to the A stores. That's all we went to.
What cracks me up is you got the only one I've ever gone to is American Eagle.
Oh.
And your boys, and you know, yeah, I guess Anthropology I've heard of, but not the others.
Anthropology isn't a bad store.
It's great, but it's very pricey
for clothes. It's a little expensive. It's a little expensive.
Very stylish, though.
On the speakers, they've got this Christmas carol going that I love. I've never heard the song before. And you know how it is with Christmas carols. Like, you've got your classics, which will always be great. And then every once in a while, somebody puts out a new song, and it's never good. You go, they tried so hard, but it just doesn't live up to the rest of the Christmas carols. It just doesn't. But there's a song in there that's, you could tell it's new because it's being played there at Anthropology, and I like it. And I say to Reese, what song is this? So she holds her phone up. She goes, Siri, what song is this? And it's not registering for some reason. So I went home, and I Googled Anthropology Christmas playlist. And somebody had all the list of the songs that they play at holiday time.
Look at you, Mr. Google.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
I'm proud of you. Hey,
I didn't.
You didn't even ask anyone else to call it up for you?
No, I called it up myself.
My sister said that the other day, and she got that from you.
I invented that phrase.
I don't like it.
Well, it's called up on the computer.
Did you just say call it up? And she goes, maybe.
Yeah.
The only way this would have been more impressive if you would have called it up on your cell phone, Googled it on your phone.
I didn't know how to do that.
Don't push him, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm dying
baby
to
steps.
Know what it is.
All right. Can I play a little bit of it
please.
For you? All right. So it's a woman named Lenka, who I'm familiar with her work. She's Australian. She's an actress slash
sure it's not
singer.
Lanka?
No, it's Lenka. You're thinking of Sri Lanka. And they put out some
wasn't
great,
really.
They put out some great Christmas songs. All the songs
you're
we play in my house are
Christmas.
Sri Lankan. All right. So this is Lenka. Tell me if you don't like this. Listen to this.
Like it already.
Be honest. This is pretty good.
I liked it right away.
Isn't this great?
She had me at the boo-bop-bops.
Yeah, that's where I got that too. I like that. I mean, it's longer than that. That's just a little sampling, but
I
all
enjoy
of us,
it.
Isn't that good? She sang, remember the song, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, Trouble is a Friend?
Nope.
Did you ever hear that song? She sings that. It's actually
rock and roll.
Oh. I like 14-year-old
girl
girls. Music.
There is a whole little breathy girl thing going
yeah.
on, but I really enjoyed that.
Isn't that a good song?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, through the miracle of space-age technology, this computer thing, I was able to find the song, and I got it off of iTunes, and now I can play it anytime I want.
Can I play my favorite Christmas
song? What do you got?
Song?
Sure.
This is it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Jingity Jing.
I love it.
Hey, jingity jing. It's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing. The Italian Christmas donkey.
La, la, la.
La, 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 la.
Did they play this at Anthropology?
We were only there for an hour and 20 minutes, so I don't know.
It's Dominic the Italian Christmas donkey song.
Lou Vega?
Dominic.
I think it's
yes.
Lou Vega.
Little donkey, you never see him.
Lou Monte.
Lou Monte. Who's Lou Vega?
I think he performs in Vegas.
Lou Monte. Hey!
Isn't this the greatest?
I would say yes, except that when I was at the light and we started playing Christmas music on the 4th of July every year, this song was in heavy rotation. I would hear this twice an hour.
Honest to God, I never heard it before last year, maybe 2 years ago.
Is that true?
And I'm Italian, and
I never heard that
song.
Oh, no, really?
It's called Dominic the Christmas Donkey, and you have to play it him in your own time because it'll make you laugh.
Listen to this. I was at the light for 2 years, so that means I was treated to 2 years worth of Christmas music for months and months and months prior to Christmas. And even though there have been over 5,000 Christmas songs recorded, the light chose 11, and we played those same 11 songs over and over and over and over, and that was one of them.
I love it.
No, it's a good song.
But you got burnt. I got burnt. Listen, I'm telling you, ever since it went Christmas over there, my son Dylan, anytime he's in the car with me, it's like we have satellite. We have anything we want.
Right.
I could watch a movie when I'm driving, but he has to listen to the Christmas songs, and it's the same crap over and over and over again. I said, I'll sing you Christmas songs.
Right. Even on satellite? Because they have so many different Christmas channels.
Oh, is there a Christmas satellite channels?
Christmas channel? Oh,
yeah, there's several.
All right.
Channel 17.
No more light for me, because it's the same. If I hear Gene Autry singing whatever he sings.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed
yes.
Reindeer.
Please, God.
When I was there, when I was at the light a million years ago, like I said, 11 songs. Everyone from a performer who had since died, except for Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis was the only one we played where he was still currently breathing. Everybody else, and I love Burl Ives.
Jingle bells.
Jingle bells. Yes. It's a lot of...
a lot of vibrato.
Yeah.
It's no Dominic the Christmas
it's
Donkey.
It's no Dominic... Jingity jing, Wendy. I say jingity
right
jing to
you.
Jingity jing. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I have another Christmas song. Bill went shopping on Black Friday, which you wouldn't have gone by yourself, correct?
No.
It's just that Reese wanted to go.
I had only done it once before, and I remembered it being an unpleasant experience because it's you can't park, and there are long lines. Like, if you do see something in a store, you got to wait 25 people deep. But we went to Oak Brook and had an incredibly nice night on Friday.
And you were in anthropology and heard a great little song by, what's her name again?
Lenka.
And you did a little research on her?
Yeah, she's Australian.
How old is she?
And if you throw one of her CDs away, it comes back to you. Isn't that weird? That's from
like
being Australian.
A boomerang.
I don't know how old she is. It's none of my business. I wouldn't ask her that. But the song was called All My Bells Are Ringing, and I quickly added it to my my Christmas iPod list.
This almost might be my favorite absolute Christmas song in the whole wide world. And we talked to her, Ronnie Spector and the Ronettes. This whole CD...
There's Dominic, the Italian Christmas donkey.
Something about the
you like livestock in your song.
I guess I do. It's a Christmas gift for you from Phil Spector. And I remember when we talked to Ronnie Spector, she didn't want to talk about Phil Spector at all.
She would not.
I don't blame her.
Neither would Tony Fulmer a few minutes ago. Isn't that weird? I said to Tony, I got a Phil Spector question I want to throw your way. I'm not answering it.
But, you know, she has a new husband now, and Phil had some bad hair and killed people.
Well, but, in that order.
Exactly.
Those are the two reasons to not like him in that order.
But, I mean, think about it. Without Phil Spector, I don't know if Ronnie Spector has a career.
Probably not.
I mean, very talented, but he really pushed it along very much.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I love that song, too. Did you see the pictures of the Nike store in Seattle on Black Friday?
No.
There's a couple of news stories that show it. It says chaos unfolded during Black Friday sales at a Nike factory store in the Seattle area. An estimated 20,000 shoppers, that's right, 20,000 shoppers inundated the sportswear giant's outpost at Seattle Premium Outlet Mall in Tulalip, Washington, scattering so much merchandise from shelves that it was hard to see the floor and even harder to navigate the aisles. In the pictures, I'll just show you one really, really quickly.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
All you see is boxes everywhere. And
strewn all over the place.
Yep, they are. And there's like odd shoes at every turn, and there's just gift wrapping and paper everywhere. It looks like the zombie apocalypse is how they're describing it. But that's the way most stores are. I mean, not to that extent, but if we can get one of the pictures or two up on the Facebook page, we will.
But that's an outlet store, too, so that's going to be like better savings even.
Right,
although I've noticed that the Nike outlet stores, got to be honest with you.
You're not saving all that much?
Not that much.
You know, there's a couple of outlet stores just over the border in Wisconsin. There's like a couple of outlet malls. And it's been years since I've been there, so maybe it's changed. But I don't remember saving anything significant enough to drive all the way to Wisconsin to shop there. I'm sure if you live in the area, it might save you a little bit.
And there are closer ones now. There's one in Aurora.
Yeah.
There's outlet malls.
Right.
But I mean, I love the one in Rosemont. I really do, but it's like a Lucky Brand. You'll go in there and things will be on sale, but I bought my Wedge Converse high tops.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same price there as they would be at, Carson's or something. It's just there's a bigger selection.
I think now with online shopping, it's just as easy to Google whatever you're looking for. You can find it on sale somewhere almost always. There are a couple of things that don't go on sale.
But I manage.
Yeah.
Wait, like what were you going to say?
Teslas.
Yeah, but like Dyson vacuum, I saved $200 on that, and a MacBook Pro, I saved $250.
Yeah, and that's a lot
Bridget
of savings.
Bridget Carey said those aren't things that go on
sale. That's a lot of savings.
Although I noticed on Black Friday, Dyson themselves are saying, save $200.
Like, oh, on a vacuum that never goes on sale.
I know. So
wow.
It's so a buyer's dream, Bill. And you showed these pictures of this Nike store in Seattle, you said?
Yeah, near Seattle. Just outside of Seattle.
That is bad to look at and makes me uncomfortable. But have you seen the videos going around of all the fights?
Yes.
I can't watch cops. Yes. This is worse than cops.
Now, do you mean the fights at the stores?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's a couple people posted their own Thanksgiving tables where there were fights going on. With, you know, they would hold up their cell phone and while their dad and their uncle were fighting.
I think
that
was
fun.
I don't trust those. I always think that those are
somebody
kind
staged
of
them?
Yeah. But the ones where you're trying to get like there's one TV and that is really the doorbuster thing turns people into rabid animals.
I've told you this before. They shouldn't call them doorbuster savings because right off the bat you hear doorbuster, you
door
go,
down.
I gotta get a little violent. I need a toaster. I gotta get through that door. So the description of what went on near Seattle, it said a shopper couldn't believe his eyes compared to the madness of a natural disaster. That's what it looks like. It looks like a hurricane has gone through Nike store. I thought there was an earthquake that had happened, a Seattle resident told BuzzFeed News, adding that employees were overwhelmed, I would think. An anonymous Nike staff member said that around 20,000 bargain seekers entered the store between 8 p.m. on Thursday night and 10 p.m. on Friday night. They had 20,000 people in their store in that length of time. Videos and photos shared on social media show hundreds of orange Nike and black brand Jordan boxes were strewn across the floor. They used your word. Congratulations.
Thank you.
As well as the sneakers that were contained in them. But there's no rhyme or reason. It's like somebody just were taking them out of the box and just throwing them at random. Incredibly, many shoppers remained undaunted, opting to step over the boxes and the sneakers. Some were struggling to find their balance and their footing through the rubble.
Yeah, I was just going to... Damn it.
That's all right.
I was at a TJ Maxx, and something happens to you when you're there. And these weren't even, like, it wasn't a Black Friday sale or anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, size 8.5 or 9 is a pretty common size. So you see, that's where the most crowded aisle is. And I find myself like a rabid dog, just like hoarding things and grabbing the ones I like
stuff
in my size.
Stuff you don't even want.
But just to, because then I'll go to a quiet area and sit down and try
smart.
Them on.
That's a smart move.
Because there are other people. I was at Nordstrom Rack. That's where it was. And there was a woman who was like, excuse me. And I said, is this your shoe on the floor? And she said, yes. I said, well, I'm going to push it off to the side. Do you mind? And then I grabbed just a bunch of shoes that I wanted to try. Well, she left her like her own shoe there.
How did you say the do you mind part?
I was nicer. I just said
do you mind?
I said, that was in my thought bubble. In real life, I said, oh, is this your shoe? Because I thought maybe somebody dropped a shoe.
Sure.
And she goes, oh, yes, it is. And I said, I'm going to kick it over to the side. Is that cool? That's how I said it.
All right. That's not bad.
But I was like, get your flipping shoe out of the way. The carts barely fit down these aisles at Nordstrom Rack anyway. So I like literally am grabbing with both hands, put it in my cart, and then I go to a quiet little chair area.
That's smart. That's a very smart move.
And I even put them back in the same size section.
Yeah. Oh, that's above and beyond the Call of Duty.
But that wasn't even a Black Friday. So
no.
I can't allow myself to go out during a Black Friday because I will punch people.
All bets are off.
And it makes me so uncomfortable. There were millions of fights going on over like one TV, over a sewing machine.
But they know that that happens every year. They can't be shocked by this.
Then don't go out.
It's
dangerous.
It is. It's so dangerous. All right. We'll take a quick break. Speaking of danger, Eric Zorn joins us right after Kim's News. That's what's coming up in just a little bit.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
How can you not, really? Eric Zorn is here, the fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Special holiday edition of Eric Zorn. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Is it a holiday edition?
Yeah,
special holiday edition. I guess all the way through December it will be right. Special holiday editions.
Did you notice this is the time of year that...
That
we like to cuddle, A.
We do.
And also, if you're in any kind of a business situation, you hear this phrase a lot. Well, we'll look into that around the first of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's all dead time between now and January 2nd or 3rd.
I've been doing that with even social engagements. People say, hey, let's get together for dinner. I say, well, like, let's wait till after the new year.
After the first of the year.
Like, yeah, this month is going to be... Yeah. It's always... December's always busy. Crazy. It's always crazy. So, anyway.
What have you been writing about that we can discuss?
Well, I did a column yesterday for which I was criticized by some readers for not being serious enough. We live in serious times, and serious things are happening out there. You know, cabinet appointments, very controversial, and so on. And my column yesterday probably could not have been more trivial.
Maybe that's why I read it for a change.
I read your column today. I wrote about several things, one of which we can talk about first. We were just mentioning off the air that Donald Trump has a strange habit of wearing his neckties about 3 or 4 inches too long.
They do seem long, don't they?
They are long. Really long.
Is that slimming? Is that why?
See, well, you know, a short necktie is the opposite of slimming. What would they, chunkifying? What would the
chunkifying.
Well, yeah.
It makes you look like...
You got a big, thick neck.
You just have a big belly and you just can't... There's no necktie in the world would fit over that
right.
belly. When you wear a tie that's too long, you look like a kid who's trying to wear his dad's necktie.
Like and Halloween dress-up.
There is no way to tie it where it doesn't basically hang down a couple of inches below the
sure.
belt. So you look like a child.
Yeah.
Trump has been wearing his necktie. And I went and looked through all a bunch of file photos and found some from some archived stories. People have been concerned about his neckties for a while.
Aren't they below his belt?
Oh, they're well below his belt.
That's not supposed to be that way.
No, it's not.
A boa.
Well, the thing about it, it looks like a leash. I mean, it's really
fun. Yeah.
And some woman wrote about this in Business Insider, and she said, it's a comical look, and you should only wear a necktie that's too long to work if you are Krusty the Clown. But there is no.
But he must have people who dress him.
It's tailored just for him.
Yeah.
I believe it makes him appear taller and thinner in his mind.
In his mind. I don't think it works.
No.
No,
I think
it
makes it. Well, this, I think the point that Bill raises is an interesting one, which is this guy clearly has people around him.
Sure.
I mean, he's a very wealthy man. People are probably, you know, he's probably got tailors, advisors.
I'm sure of it.
A valet, maybe. I don't know. He's probably got, you know, like you do at home. You know,
yeah,
the
similar.
Whole household staff.
Yeah.
The downstairs people. At
we have the downstairs people help me.
But he doesn't, he's not listening to people. He doesn't listen to them. About anything.
His daughter has a clothing line. So wouldn't his daughter, because they spend a lot of time together, wouldn't his daughter say, hey, Dad, the ties are about 3 inches too long?
And there's some, it's not hard to find online or in reference books advice to people on how to wear a necktie. And it is supposed, the point of the necktie, or the end of the necktie, is supposed to end right about the center of the belt buckle, or if you don't have a belt, right in the center of the waist
right.
line. The waist band, I should say.
I thought it was supposed to ride just above your... pant.
Well, it should not. There should be no gap between the end of the tie and the pant.
Really?
No gap. But hardly any overlap. I mean, it comes right to the end. I mean, this is a. I mean, I'm no. I know you couldn't tell by looking at me.
I was looking. You don't have a tie on.
He's like,
today.
Yeah, I don't have a tie today to measure up against this. But no, it's one of those things where it's like this is the kind of thing that. You know, his advisors have probably said, you know, Mr. Trump, the well-dressed man these days is wearing his necktie. It's like this. And he doesn't listen to them. And to me, it suggests that he doesn't listen to anybody, that he does his own thing. His hair.
Yeah,
at some point, someone must have said, you know, this 70s game show thing is not happening. But
I saw a photo of him once where it was blowing back in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look bad. I know he's doing kind of the comb over to give himself a little bang there over his forehead, but it was blowing back, and it didn't, like, if he would slick it back or something, it really did not look bad.
Well, when he was younger, he didn't have that strange hair, and he was not a bad looking guy.
Very good looking guy.
And he's 70 years old, so he doesn't have, blonde hair like that, clearly, and I don't fault anyone for coloring their hair, but that color just doesn't look. It just doesn't look right. You know, it's one of those things where I think it just sort of tells you something about the fact this guy is
he does what he wants to do.
He is his own guy, and of course, I got attacked for this for not being serious on this holiday weekend, but anyway.
But appearance, especially if you're going to be the president of the United States, that says a lot about you. The world is watching at this point, and it might not be our best representative fashion-wise.
And some people who took me more seriously wrote and said, well, another thing, yeah, see, there's a picture there. You just called up online. This is great radio, isn't it? Look at that picture.
No, we can put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, put that on the Facebook page. But the other thing people said, that he doesn't button his suit jackets correctly, that you're supposed to button, you know, the second button on your the top button.
Yeah, not the second button.
And he leaves his jacket open, flapping open,
you can see the long tie.
Which is another thing that, if you look around, like, his Secret Service people are better dressed than he is, which is just odd. But anyway,
there's a statement that Steve Bannon said on Friday that I love. Steve Bannon has been criticized for being something of a, what's the best term without overselling it? I don't want to say white supremacist. That's a little much.
Well, he's all right. He was the former CEO of and publisher
Breitbart.
Of Breitbart, and he told in interviews over the summer, he said that Breitbart is a platform for the alt-right, and alt-right is a kind of a prettied up term for the white nationalist.
Yeah, so white nationalist isn't as severe as white supremacist, right?
That's one
tier below, right?
I guess.
So this was a statement from Steve Bannon on Friday. Listen to this: darkness is good. He told the Hollywood Reporter, darkness is good. He then said, Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, that's power. It only helps us when they get it wrong, when they're blind to who we are and what we're doing. So he is a fan of darkness. He says darkness is good. Is that going to endear the American people to him?
Who did he put? He lumped
Darth Vader.
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. That's
okay.
Power.
I wonder if the Cheney family felt about that.
I don't think that they were that upset.
Leave us alone. Or they said, did you name us second? Why not first?
Satan?
Yeah. That's your triumphant of darkness. Darkness is good. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. That's power.
Well, it's not exactly the same, but this is kind of when Trump was praising Putin, and he's praised some of these other strongman leaders around the globe, that he really admires strength.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, when he says that Obama, when he was not BFFs with Obama, he was saying that Obama was very weak and a weak leader, and he's admiring the strength of some of these guys like Putin. So that fits into that kind of philosophy, which is that strength.
Remember the Gordon Gekko phrase, Michael Douglas, in Wall Street, where he said greed is good, and that was the phrase of the year, greed is good, because America was at a weird point right then where they're going, is it or isn't it? I don't know. That guy thinks it is, but do we want to be a snake like that guy? Isn't this sentence almost an updated version of greed is good, darkness is good?
Yeah, I didn't see that. It was probably one of those stories that kind of got lost in the holiday weekend. Who did he say?
Hollywood Reporter.
Hollywood Reporter. Why is he giving interviews to the Hollywood Reporter?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because they'll listen.
Right. Everyone would take an interview.
Well, this was his first interview. This was his first big interview since being named to the Post.
I've got to look at that, because there certainly was a lot of news over the weekend about Trump tweeting out this bogus news report from some phony InfoWars, I think it was, one of these fake news stories saying that 3 million votes were cast fraudulently, and that's why Hillary Clinton won the popular vote.
Which is 100% not true, but people believe that.
But why does the president-elect of the United States retweet it, or he didn't even retweet it, he amplified it. He said that he would have won, that he did win the popular vote.
But a recount is a waste of time.
Yes.
Yeah, but he probably would have demanded a recount had he lost.
I wonder, do you think?
I don't think that this recount, we're talking about the one that Jill Stein has initiated and Hillary Clinton has said she's okay with in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan.
Yeah.
And the people who I read and trust on this say there's absolutely no chance that this recount is going to change the results of the election in the Electoral College.
If they found something to be askew, it would be a terrible and a travesty to take away what was given to him, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't see happening.
If they did a recount and they found lots of fraud and they found that lots of hacking and they found that there's a significant evidence that she won those three states, but that's not going to happen. And so I mean, people are getting very upset about this and saying, oh, it's terrible. Hillary Clinton's not letting the country move forward. Well, the country's moving forward fine. And this is Jill Stein's thing and she's paying for it. And
why is Jill Stein doing it?
I don't have any idea. I think because she's raising money off it. Maybe she's an attention hog. I'm not sure, but it's a very strange story.
Let's take a quick break. More of this. Oh, by the way, Paul Lisnick will be on later on to talk about this recount that happens at 2:35 from WGN-TV and CLTV. Eric Zorn is here now. We'll continue this in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, everybody, from the Chicago Tribune. Is he feisty? You know he's feisty. Eric, you wrote over the weekend about a certain affectation that you notice people have when speaking now. You want to discuss that a little bit?
I have noticed this, and it's when you take a word that begins or has in it STR, like street or strong or strength.
Stroganoff.
And you add and you add an H to it. Stroganoff comes up all the time.
Yeah.
And so when you would say Stroganoff.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And
what's going on with that?
Well, the thing is, it's not, you know, you might think, well, this is like how some people will say insurance instead of insurance, and it's kind of a low class marker in a way. This is not, doesn't seem to have anything to do with educational attainment.
It sounds Bavarian.
It
doesn't
it?
It sounds like people want to sound more Bavarian.
And one of the major offenders in this area is Michelle Obama, Harvard, Harvard educated first lady of the United States. And I think Kevin pulled some, this is from her speech at the Democratic Convention.
All right, let's hear
it. These are some examples we found.
I want someone with the proven strength to persevere. Even when we're struggling ourselves. Because we are always stronger together. But who kept on striving
Striving.
I can't stand when I hear that, and I hear that with reporters on television. It's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know, and it mystifies me.
Is it intentional or non-intentional?
I don't know if it's. I think it has become intentional that people. This is how they say these words. I can't figure out why you would say it. It's not easier to say it.
You don't say stupid. It's only STR that gets the SH in front of it.
It's the STR. And you'll find it in the middle of words. Anywhere that it shows up, they'll throw in that extra H.
Restoration?
Restoration.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I can't quite figure out where it comes from. And I actually put it to readers, like, where does this happen? And why? And people were saying, "Well, this is a dialect. It's a regular accent, but it's not. There's no common denominator."
If it were a dialect, where would it be indigenous to? Is it? It's not a Midwestern or Chicago thing, is it?
It's not. Someone wrote to me and said, "I think it's from Philly. I think that's where it comes from in the street."
Because like, I'm very street. That's how people would say it. And street turned into strong and stroganoff, and I feel like I've locked jaw.
Why would you say it's very street? What does that signify?
I don't have any idea.
So I was asking readers to suggest where it comes from or why they say people who do say it. And someone said, "Yeah, I was saying it all my life until somebody called my attention to
all
it."
All their
lives. Yeah, and then I realized that I was saying it wrong, and I just stopped. It was hard.
I know a couple of people who do it, and I've never called them out on it, but I always assume they're doing it to sort of juice up their own language somehow. I don't know why you would need to. But anytime I hear it, I always say to myself, well, they're doing it intentionally. I don't know why, but they are. But you say maybe not. Maybe it's just part of the vernacular. It's the way they speak.
It just may be the way they speak after
It's wrong.
A while. Yeah, it is wrong.
There's no H in there.
There's not an H
when
there.
When I go to strip clubs,
yeah,
I never say it like that.
You don't?
So maybe someone out in the listening audience can explain why they do it.
Now,
do
people who do it, though, are they cognizant of the fact that they're doing it for the most part, huh?
I think they're not. I think it's something that, this is my sense. And again, this is from, maybe 20, 30 letters that I've gotten, and I solicited letters from people. Said, please tell me if you say this, why you say it.
Yeah.
And people have not had a really good explanation other than this is how I've always said it. And I've tried to, one guy said, I've tried to change and it's hard.
And it's impossible?
It's really hard. It sounds really, I say street, and it doesn't sound right to me. The street sounds better. There were some people who wrote in saying that it has to do with the placement of your tongue in your mouth, and it's actually easier to say this, and this is why it shows up. None of it makes any sense. It is something, of course, that linguists have looked at, and this is how I'm pretty confident that it is not a class marker, an ethnic marker.
I don't think it is.
Regionalism. And anyway, it seems to be just everywhere. No one can say, like, oh, you're criticizing them for saying that because you're against this group or you're in favor of this geographical region. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Educational attainment. The other thing that I wrote about in the same column, because this was my frivolous Sunday.
Yeah.
I wrote about how people say often.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds pretentious.
I'm often aware of people saying instead of often.
The dictionary accepts both, by the way, as correct. Most dictionaries do.
It does. And in fact, the word often comes from the old Middle English word oft, O-O-F-T. Like, and you still hear that when you say, like, the oft-quoted Eric Zorn.
With some regularity.
So there was a T, and evidently, like hundreds of years ago, proper speakers got rid of the T. And if you think about it, like a word like listen.
Who wants to get rid of the T?
Let's go. We're all getting ready. Let's go. We're all going to agree. We're going to conspire.
I pity you, Bill.
Yeah. I pity the fool that gets rid of the T.
So you don't say listen. You don't say listen. I'm going to listen to you.
Sonny Liston.
Sonny, you're right.
Darn you, Sonny Liston. Liston. So it's the same kind. It's different enough, but it's similar.
Well, the thing that it has in common with the street and strong element is that it doesn't seem to have any kind of particular class markers,
right,
or
it just happens.
Or regionalism, and it isn't, you know, like some of the other things that people say, qualities of speech and so on do have these kind of markers.
Yeah.
So if you're picking on someone for saying something, you know, you're pronouncing a word a certain way, you can say, well, you know, come on, that's black dialect or that's Southern.
Stop
or
doing
something.
It.
But just stop.
It's Harry Tynowitz. So,
it is.
Well, you know,
Sean Connery.
You know, always speaks perfectly, in my opinion, is Steve Bertrand.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a given.
Yes, he does.
Every word he says.
He's coming up next on the Wintrust
really?
Business Lunch. Eric, thank you very much for coming by. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. It's always a good read. Kim, thanks. I just want to tell you, Kim Gordon, you scared us. You scared Wendy and you scared me.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
James Taylor?
Yeah.
I did the same thing to Judy. I know there's been a lot of deaths going on over the Thanksgiving holiday. No,
there
he's
have
fine.
Been.
He's coming to Chicago. All good.
I guess our brains are trained now. If there's a split second of silence and you hear somebody in music form, like we heard you got a friend from James Taylor,
right,
we just automatically expect the worst, and we're not ready for James Taylor to go.
No, this is good news.
No, it is good
you
news.
You know, we always try to spice it up a little
right,
bit.
Right.
Yeah, but we never thought like that. Before, it'd be like, oh, cool, a James Taylor, too.
Yeah,
now it's
right.
Like, who died now?
It's because we're getting older. That's what happens.
I mean, when you lose Mrs. Brady, who I
know.
Have to tell you, she was really, Bill, I thought of you immediately.
How come? Just because of my love of TV?
Yes,
well, that's
honestly,
a big one, Bill. I mean,
that is a big one. That is a big one. And I never was fortunate enough to interview her. I saw a video of Dean Richards, who appears on our show once a week, making out with her
on the
WGN TV Morning News from a year or two ago. And that made me feel better for some weird reason.
She would have made out with you, too.
I wonder.
She
I
looked like a load of fun. And see, that's Florence Henderson, 82, was she?
Yeah, she was 82.
But in great health. Like, you'd look at her and never...
And she always had so much energy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And see, that's what I can't handle is the unexpected deaths. You know, someone who's been battling... Poor David Bowie, that was terrible, but he was sick. I guess we didn't know it until the very end.
Right.
But she was the epitome of health.
Yeah. You mentioned she was just on Dancing with the Stars. Maureen McCormick, who played Marcia, was a finalist, and she was there to kind of, you know...
Show her support.
That was tough. It's really strange. I don't know how you get your news, but I get it either, you know, from the radio or TV or online. And it was the top story. With all that's going on in the world, that was the top story on Yahoo and MSN and stuff the night that it happened. And you just stare at it and you go, oh, no, why did that have to happen?
I know. And it's always tough on a holiday. I mean, any death obviously is tough, but then when it happens on a holiday, it's just,
I know,
it's harder to take.
Yeah.
The thing about her, too, she never aged. I mean, she
That's
just looked
I mean.
Amazing till right. the very end.
Right.
That's why it was so sudden and unexpected.
Did you ever see her in the movie Shakes the Clown?
Oh, my God.
Can't say
yes.
that I did.
It's a very, I don't know if I can recommend, it's not for everybody, but Shakes the
it's
Clown.
It's raunchy, but.
Bob Goldthwait made a movie about clowns, and one of the clowns, Shakes, has a drinking problem, among other things, and he has a relationship, quote-unquote, with an older woman played by Florence Henderson, and it's very jarring. You know, no actor wants to be typecast, but in Florence Henderson's, in her lifetime, I think no matter what she does, when you see her, she'll be Carol Brady.
Always.
It's inevitable, right? So all of a sudden you see her... making out with a clown
I know,
and
that
smoking
was gross.
And drinking. It's just really hard to watch.
But good for her to try and break that mold.
Right.
I mean, Kevin, what's the name of that stupid Nick Swardson movie that my sons made me watch?
Oh, the grandma movie?
Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shirley Jones is in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She gets high. I mean, it's it's just weird.
I know. But I think if you were to poll people who grew up on TV the way all of us did and said, who's the prototypical TV mom? Like, what TV mom? You're going to get Marion Ross from Happy Days. You're going to get Shirley Jones from The Partridge Family. You're going to get Florence Henderson and probably Roseanne, right?
Yeah, but those Roseanne, you expect goofy behavior from. I would throw Barbara Billingsley in.
Yep,
and remember her in Airplane?
Yeah, she was great.
And I also throw in Mrs. Ingalls because I was
Karen
Little
Grassley.
House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
That family was too boring for me. I gotta be honest with you. A little bit.
Well, the Times,
love that
they
show.
Didn't...
And the Waltons. Come on.
Yeah. I watched the Waltons. Michael Learned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, that, you know, they were too nice to each other. I mean, seriously, every night, good night. Good night, Aaron.
Good night, John Boy.
There was a lot of that. Yep. Yep.
Ralph Waite was very attractive in my eye. He was the big studly dad that could handle anything.
Yeah, yeah. So did you do, like, when you were a kid and you watched these shows, did you say, my family's fine, but boy, if I was in the Bradys or the Partridges or the Ingalls, that'd be a life, wouldn't it?
I only wanted to be in the Partridges and the Bradys. I didn't want to be in the Ingalls. Again, like I said, too boring. And the Waltons, I wasn't nice enough to be a Walton.
I love Little House on the Prairie, but I would not have been a good pioneer. So, no, I would not have wanted to have been in the Ingalls family.
It would have been, wouldn't that have been, I hate to say this because people did important things back then, but with all the things we have now, wouldn't you go, I would have died of boredom when I was six.
I said they were too boring, and you laughed at me, and now you're in agreement.
And I would have always been afraid of Nellie Olson. She was just so mean.
What a rat.
She just needed someone to love her. That's
she
really
did.
All
you
she needed.
You think that would have made all the difference?
Yes. Well, when she got married, she got a little nicer at the end.
Oh, did she? I watched it when my girls were little. I didn't watch it when it was originally on, but they really loved it. We've got all the DVD box sets of Little House on the Prairie. And I don't know. It seemed
I'll
to me
over,
like...
I'll come over. Pop some popcorn.
You want to come by?
Yeah.
All right. It seemed like the episodes were almost always the same to me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it was Pioneer Days, so what was going to happen, but...
Not much going on.
See, that's the thing. I don't think it was the Ingalls family that was boring. I think
the Times. Well, you know, actually, I was just in Nashville, and I went to the Johnny Cash Museum, and I didn't realize he was in several episodes. He was the preacher.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I didn't watch
that was
that
very
show
exciting to me.
Very much. I might have seen two episodes my whole life.
Waltons, yeah.
I watched every episode.
Add it to your list after you watch Sound of Music.
No, I'm not ever watching that. I've gone this long. Why bother? My sister keeps getting on my back, too. My boys have seen it. I haven't seen it.
And you
it.
Still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen Mary Poppins. It is something with Julie Andrews.
What's wrong? I don't know. Why are you boycotting all things Julie Andrews?
Oh, you got to watch Mary Poppins before the new Mary Poppins comes out.
Yeah.
I think I'm good to pass on both of them.
Oh, they're both so good.
You don't like Flying Nannies? What do you have against
Flying
Nannies?
She only liked
Nannies?
The Flying Nun.
See? Right. Dominique.
Sister Betrayal.
Yes, I would have done. That was more exciting than the Ingalls, actually.
Well, sure,
she lived in a convent.
You had a nun that could fly.
I guess that's more exciting than Life on the Prairie.
Yeah. Well, in retrospect, yeah. All right. That's been our glowing tribute to Florence Henderson and Fidel Castro. We covered both of them somehow. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's a Military Monday. We'll find out what that entails next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I almost said Wednesday, but it isn't. It's a Monday, and it's a Military Monday, which is sponsored by the Federal Savings Bank. And, Bill, we had a conversation with the fine folks at the Federal Savings Bank, and they are military personnel. And I was kind of saying to them, I am very relieved that neither of my boys want to be in the military.
Right.
And they kind of said, why not?
It got a little cold in the room.
Right, but I'm sure I'm not the only woman that feels that way, or father, I guess, could feel that way, too. So in the studio with us right now is Captain Tyler Lyons, United States Marine Corps, Chicago Officer Selection Team. Hello, Captain. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
And we also have Sergeant Trayvon Paraka, Marketing and Public Affairs Director for the Marine Recruiting Station Chicago. How are you, Sergeant?
Fantastic, Wendy. How are you?
I'm good. Am I, like... Nervous Nelly thinking, oh, I don't want my kids to be in the military because I want them to come home safe and sound. Am I the only mom or father that feels that way?
Most definitely not. My mom was the same way.
Really?
She was.
Do you come from a military family?
Sort of. My grandfather was in the U.S. Air Force. He passed away in 1996, so I didn't really have a chance to know him. But my mom grew up with him in the Air Force, and he went to Vietnam and everything. So She kind of knows what it's like, and she was a little tear-wrenched.
Apprehensive.
Yeah, when I told her I wanted to be a Marine, kind of wrenched a few tears for her.
And Captain Lyons, same kind of story?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the natural reaction of any mother or father. I remember I remember the phone call, calling my mom, telling her. She cried. But I just saw her. I just went back home this weekend for Thanksgiving, and I didn't ask her that question there, but I'm sure if you did, she would tell you unequivocally the best decision I ever made.
Because why?
Because, so a lot of people think about the tangible benefits, but there's a lot of intangible benefits, and I think what it's given me as a person, the confidence, the discipline, the work ethic, things that have been instilled in me because of the training that I've gone through, the situations I've been placed in, it just sets you up for life. I really do truly believe that. And we talk to, when I'm talking to college kids about the Marine officer program, or I'm talking to people about being Marines, I talk to them about that. Is it difficult? Yes. Is there danger involved? Yes. But it's a great experience. And I think my mom would tell you that too, if she was here today.
The difference is that noticeable in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's changed me as a person, definitely for the better. I believe that.
And I'm sure as hard as both your mothers cried when you told them you wanted to be in the service, they probably are or were so proud of you for doing it. Would that be correct?
Very correct. My mother is still proud of me to this day. Whenever I tell her I'm doing stuff and she sees pictures or sees videos.
She cries, but in a prideful way.
She's very happy, and she's glad I made that decision.
Now, what makes you decide to go into the military? Did you have a troubled life? A lot of people think if you have a bad upbringing and you want to escape that, you turn to the military, but that's not always the case, is it?
No, it's not. For me personally, I'm a graduate of The Ohio State University. I had a lot of options coming out of college, and I could have done any number of things with that degree, but I decided to join the Marine Corps, and I'm glad I made that decision. It's given me a lot of opportunities off of that. I don't think that's true. You think of the movies, hey, you're going to jail or you're going to the Marine
right.
Corps, and I don't think that's true. I mean, Sergeant Paraka also, I don't know where you stand on it, but...
Well, growing up, I always wondered why anybody would want to join the military. I had the view of you join the military, go to Iraq, you can get shot. Why would anybody want to get shot at? I was very limited on my knowledge. So there was a couple people that I knew who had a lot of experience with the military, had family members. And I asked them, you know, what they thought. And they said, oh, I'd definitely join in a heartbeat. And they were young just like me, and they wanted to join. So I went to the recruiting office out of curiosity just to gather some information, and I ended up liking what the recruiters had to say, and I saw the benefits that it could provide for me and for my life, so I decided to make that commitment.
That initial commitment is how many years?
It's 4 years.
4 years. What's the biggest difference from what you thought it would be and what it actually is?
There's a lot of differences. They tell you about all the times you get to go shoot weapons and stuff and wear the nice uniforms. They don't tell you how long it takes to get the uniforms ready. They don't tell you.
I commented off the air how your uniforms were so completely pressed and straight.
Starchy.
Yeah, and I'm used to kids with teenage boys with wrinkly T-shirts, and you guys just looked at me. So I didn't know there was – you guys do that yourselves? You don't just send them to the dry cleaner?
Wendy, you can send them our way, those two young boys. We'll get those uniforms
shape them up.
Pressed. Yeah.
Shape them up. There was a recruitment film for years. They used to show it in movie theaters and sometimes on TV that showed guys fighting dragons. Do you remember that commercial? You guys haven't fought any dragons yet, have you? Maybe
not
that comes
yet.
Later.
Not yet.
I slayed two this morning.
Oh, you did? All right. Well, that part's accurate then. What, we have a new leader coming in, Donald Trump. What does this mean for the military? Do we know yet? Is it still kind of uncharted territory as to what this could mean for the military?
Well, he's going to be our commander-in-chief, and we're going to continue the Marine Corps mission just as we did before.
Yeah.
And that's a great answer.
Yeah.
Really, what else can you do at this point?
Our commander-in-chief is currently Barack Obama, and our commander-in-chief will be Donald Trump, and we will do what we're commanded to do, and we'll do what the Marine Corps does, which is win our nation's battles and make people into great citizens. So that's what we're doing. It won't change.
Were the guys in the ranks rooting one way or the other, or was it kind of a mixed bag?
I've found with the troops and the Marines that I work with that most people keep their political views to themselves.
Do they? Yeah.
Smart move.
It's not very vocalized.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're both Marines. People tend to think that Marines are in the best shape of any other military. Are you not going to answer that for political reasons?
True.
Okay.
It is true.
110% accurate.
Is. How about that? And then rank them down after the Marines. What's the next and the last?
Well, there's the Marines, and then there's the other branches of service.
Yep.
If you ain't first, you're last, right?
No, yes. All the branches, we have to stay in pretty good shape. Going to combat and doing operations, humanitarian relief, all that stuff puts a physical stress on your body. And if you're not prepared, you're going to fail. So that's why we have our leaders, and our leaders prepare the young Marines to do that.
Good.
That was Sergeant Trayvon Paraka, Marketing and Public Affairs Director for the Marine Recruiting Station right here in Chicago. Also with us, Captain Tyler W. Lyons, United States Marine Corps Chicago Officer Selection Team. Not fair to put you on the spot with this question, but this is one that I would have for someone in the service. How does someone love their country so much that they will do whatever it takes to protect it and to protect us? And thank you for that, by the way, but it takes a special someone.
It does. I mean, people join for different reasons. Some people join to protect the country. Some people join to benefit themselves. At the end of the day, you're joining, and once you've became a Marine, you're working for the Marine Corps' mission. You wake up every day, and you see all the different things going on in the world, you know, riots, protests, stuff like that, and we're fighting for people's freedom to do that. We have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and not many countries have those freedoms that we have, and sometimes they're taken for granted. And just knowing that my son's going to go to school and get a free education until he's 18, that's a reason enough for me.
Are you guys ever scared, or is scared not an option?
I think that it just comes down to training. You know, you train and train and train for a mission to the point where you're just ready.
And you're confident.
And you're confident. I don't think that if anyone told you that they aren't scared, I don't think that's honest.
Yeah.
I think everybody is, but you have a mission, and I'm confident in the training that I've received, and I'm confident in the people next to me. That's really where the confidence comes from, is your brothers and sisters in arms that you know are going to be there to back you up.
Yeah.
If someone's listening to us right now, a parent or maybe somebody's homesick from school and was thinking, you know, I always wanted to join the Marines or another branch of the military, where's the best place to go get information?
They can go online to marines.com. They have a lot of information they can research. If they see some stuff they like, they can put in their information and their zip code, and the recruiter that's closest to them can give them a call, and they can schedule an appointment if they'd like to.
Thank you so much to both of you for your service, for protecting us, and Captain Tyler W. Lyons and Sergeant Trayvon Paraka. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming up today.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Thanks, guys.
And our Military Monday, sponsored by the Federal Savings Bank. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder. We'll be back after these.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming up, we are going to talk to Ryan Burrow, who is en route to Ohio State University right now. So I think we're going to talk to him after 2.
First, right. You see him here, and then you hear him there.
He was here this morning.
I didn't see him this morning, but Bill's like, you saw him up there too, and he's on a plane and going out there, and we'll have a report on the latest. I did get some information. My neighbor I have two neighbors who their sons go to Ohio State. And it happened right by their dorm. They were safe. The shooter was right by their dorm. And, of course, they text their parents right away to say they were okay.
Yeah.
And then my neighbor's nephew said he was hiding in a closet very close to all of it. And then one of her sons was out running and found a restaurant to wait it out in. So just really scary. I was curious to know if an alert came over from the campus to, you know, a mobile alert saying there's an active, which I guess it was reported as a shooter first off. We'll find out most of this from Ryan Burrow when he gets there. And I hate to say, you know, in a time like this that, you know, I had a mishap over the weekend, because it pales in comparison.
Did you? What happened?
Well, it was a scary thing driving down the street, mm-hmm. and I was following a truck with a ladder on it. Mm-hmm. It was a company that cleans various things, and I don't want to. They cleaned gutters and windows.
Yeah,
I don't want to give the name of it out there.
All right.
But all of a sudden, we were at a stoplight, and the light turns green, and they proceed, and we proceed, and a ladder comes off their truck.
It did.
It totally, it was like slow motion, because, you know, you weren't going very fast coming from a stop position.
Right.
But the ladder started coming off, like sliding off the top. It was still kind of hooked at the very front.
Yeah.
But that little piece it was hooked onto broke off. So ultimately the ladder hit the ground.
Oh no.
And I'm driving with my youngest son, Dylan, who doesn't drive yet. And I said, this is why you have to pay attention. Make sure there was no one in the right lane. So if I needed to move over, no one was behind me. So I could kind of stay back a little bit.
Yeah.
But you have to keep your eyes open at every given moment. You can't text. You can't change the station on the radio.
No, of course not. Every second counts.
And I'm thinking about it, like Dylan was just kind of like, whoa, that really happened. And I said, yeah. And if we were on the expressway, I'm sure that thing would have projectiled right through the windshield and taken me out.
You mean because of the velocity, the speed you were traveling? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And I mean, this was a place that cleans gutters and windows, so they need ladders. I get that. But isn't there some law about making sure that is secured before you pull
absolutely.
Off?
As far as you know, it did. It ended up not hitting anything. It just went to the ground and stayed on the ground.
It kind of slid off because, like I said, we were in a stop position. The light turned green and he moved forward.
Right.
So imagine if he was going fast.
Yeah. It would have taken you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
And that is, I know on the Stevenson it happened a ton where stuff was falling off of cars and going through windshields.
Did you call them or anything?
I didn't know what to do.
But what do you say? They know their ladder came off the truck.
Well, I know, but does he go and tell us? I said that to Dylan. I said, I don't know if I should call the police or maybe if I should call the company and say, listen, I don't want to be Gladys Kravitz or a busybody.
But you got to secure your ladders a
but
little
But I'm
tighter.
Just saying, you know, and so Dylan's like, I'm sure it'll never happen again to this guy. Because this guy looked really scared. I mean, he stopped and he ran and he got his ladder and a piece of the truck that broke off.
It could have killed somebody.
Honestly, I mean, I know I'm exaggerating, but had we been going quicker,
that would have been it.
That totally would have been it.
No.
And then Dylan said, don't they make your windshields secure? And I said, yeah.
Not against a ladder.
I said that. I go, it's more for like if a rock flies
right.
up. But, you know, if anything heavier flies up, and he said, well, why can't they make them so they protect you? And I said, well, if they ever have to extricate you, they need to be able.
Yeah.
These are the conversations, and I don't really know that I have answers.
It's a valid question, but, you know, there's such freak one-in-a-million-shot incidents that they can't reinforce glass to prevent something the size
right.
of a ladder going. That's impossible, but.
And then a couple of years, this was probably 20 years ago, we went and got, Jim and I went to get a piece of plywood because
your anniversary?
Shut up. Our mattress was sagging and somebody said if you put a piece of plywood in between your box spring and your mattress that it would
firms
work.
It up. Yeah.
So we measured everything. We went to, I think at that point, Builder Square was still around.
Yeah.
And they cut this piece of plywood and we had it bungee corded to the roof and everything. But as we were driving, the wind was kind of picking it up from the front. So we're driving and we're both holding it, but it never came off or anything. And we put our hazards on and went about like 4 miles an hour home.
Over the years, I've seen at least a dozen people with something huge on top of their car with their arm wrapped around. And I think to myself, that's not going to make a bit of difference.
No, but we had it strapped down completely, but it just, there was some wiggle room.
Yeah.
So I don't know that.
You feel better doing
it. I guess
going,
you do.
I'm doing everything in my power to keep this attached to my car. But if something major happened, that thing would fly. You know that,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And it's usually mattresses or dressers or something that won't fit in your trunk.
Right.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Okay. Ours was a Christmas tree last year. And we could have made the news. It would have been catastrophic. My husband and the young man at the place we bought the tree were talking, speaking of military. My husband did military, talking to the young kid about it. Obviously, you know, didn't get secured. So going northbound on Rand Road in the rush hour. Now, Rand Road is Route 12, so, you know, you're doing, you're home, going home, you know, 50, 55. And I heard it before I saw it. I was riding shotgun. I hear it go, a noise up above go, and with that, I look to the to my passenger mirror, and I see it going bounce, bounce.
God, it's
bounce.
Like we're talking to Michael Winslow. Are you hearing this?
You're good
still?
With the sound effects. I love it, Karen. Yes. So you saw it fly off.
Yes. And so the next thing, I yelled, we have our granddaughter in the car with us. And so I said, pull over to my husband. And so he does. Thank God he listened.
Yeah.
The next thing I know, he shoots out of the car and starts running southbound on Rand Road. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be a widow right here. He's going to retrieve the tree. So I see him going northbound, dragging the tree back.
Wow.
To the car. And then he secured it. Now, we got our tree last week, and my husband, delightful man, my love of many years, he secured it himself, and we had no problem.
Oh, that's better.
That is great to know.
Wow.
And hopefully you have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you, Karen. We appreciate it. Larry, so you're an owner of a company. Should I call this company and tell them what happened?
Oh, absolutely. You should let them know. They're going to, you know, as any owner would want to, you know, it's not about getting the driver in trouble. It's about making sure that the vehicle that he's driving is in good shape. So
it was really kind of scary. I mean, thank God we were going at such a slow speed, but it really would have been terrible had we been on a road that was 45 or 50.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't know what the reason was that, did he forget to strap it down? Did something break that caused it to happen? You know, there's a lot of different reasons that ladder could have fell off, you know, but more likely it's, you know, there was an error, human error, and you need to make sure that company knows that happened so that they can, you know, make sure that they're, you know, having safety inspections and things like that. So,
right.
And while you're at it, remind everybody that it is raining outside and they should turn their lights on in their vehicles. They think their lights are automatic and they're not.
Yeah, everybody turn those lights on. I thought there was a setting on new cars. I know we went through this before.
It's an automatic, yeah.
Right. It used to go on automatically when the windshield wipers, because that's a law. If your windshield wipers are going, your lights have to be on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I thought that automatic worked. It doesn't. You have to manually turn them on when it's raining.
All right.
So good advice, Larry. I appreciate it. I'll call them today.
Bye.
And I don't.
Are
wanna,
you going to call him today?
I'm
really,
gonna, I am. I went back and forth about calling the police, but it's not a police issue there.
Mm.
Although I do think it's against the law to not have your load secured.
I bet.
I mean, no one
but
got
don't
hurt.
You think they'll just say, "Yeah, we know. We know. We well, he told us the ladder came off the truck." I know for future reference, it'll make them try harder, but I don't know. I guess I would call too, but I don't know what I'm expecting them to tell
me. I should have called yesterday when it happened,
yeah.
But I can tell them exactly what time.
Yeah.
But I feel I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the company because we remembered it. I don't want to say it because it
no,
you know
don't say
something
it.
Could have just
right.
broken and it not
it
been
happens.
Their fault. But then you think of God, you know, what if he's talking to somebody and forgot to secure it on the top of the
right.
truck?
Yeah, that's ugly.
Not cool. All right, Kevin found something in the middle of the road. What'd you find, Kevin?
Oh, I didn't find it, thank the Lord, but I drove by it about 2 weeks ago on 294 northbound, just north of O'Hare.
What was
it? Poor person. It was a bobcat bucket, the front bucket, the big, like, 5 foot wide, 3 foot tall bucket. And it's
like the scoop, the big scoop thing on a.
Yeah, the scoop, yeah.
Oh, that's what a bobcat bucket. Yeah. I didn't know that was a bobcat.
You know what a bobcat is?
I know what a bobcat is.
It's a small little.
Not in Bill's mind.
Well,
that's totally something different in Bill's mind.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
It's a machine.
All right, so that fell
like
off.
Like a little tractor, like a bulldozer, but a little like one.
Yeah, wow.
It was in the middle lane, and this poor SUV was like 5 feet off the ground, wedged on top of it, stuck on top of it. She drove right on top. She or he drove right on top of it and was just up there.
So what did you do?
Well, I just kept going to work.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
But see, honestly, you look away for a second.
I took the right lane and kept going. Well, no, I didn't look away. I looked and made sure everything was all right. There was no smoke or fire or anything, so I kept going.
Well, that's good, Kevin. Thank you for calling.
You're not missing a bobcat bucket, are you? Check and make sure.
Your face couldn't have been more adorable.
I swear, I'm thinking,
bobcat,
why are there
bucket?
Bobcat hunters on the 294? That's not a good area for catching bobcats.
But it just, you know, and again, my oldest son, Michael, does not want to get his license. And I just got from the school that he has to get approved. Like, he has to pass the driver's ed class from the driver's ed school in order to graduate.
Wait, to graduate?
Yes, he doesn't need his license, but he has to turn in a certificate that says he completed his driver's education requirement since we didn't go through the school. He has 1 hour left, and they said, I don't feel comfortable. Well, they said, I don't feel comfortable passing him, so call us for his last hour after he's driven like 10 to 15 to 20 hours, and he's driven 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
So we have until like June, probably May.
Yeah, I would think May. Yeah, the end of the school year, right?
Yeah, but
I'd hate for him to not graduate.
I mean, because
of
that. Ugh. But you just have to be very careful and don't look away for anything. I'm telling you, people.
That's true. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then the news, sponsored by Stanley's Bobcat Buckets. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. If you want to reach us, you have a question or a comment, we're 312-981-7200.
In a scary moment, as I was driving along a window washing and gutter company, their ladder slid off, and thankfully there was no one to the right of me, no one behind me, so I just kind of slowly stayed back and was able to assess the situation, could have moved to the right lane and did a little bit and wasn't injured, but it kind of got me thinking, had we been traveling on the expressway or even a road that was going faster, that could have projectiled right into our windshield.
No doubt about it.
So someone suggested that I call the company and just let them know. And then, Bill, you're kind of right. I'm going to call. And either the guy wouldn't, you know, maybe he didn't say anything. Maybe he's like, oh, crap, I'm going to get in huge trouble.
Oh, I wonder. I didn't think about that.
But I just want to make sure that the roads are safe for people. And
sure,
if I can do my part, I will.
Hi, you're like a superhero.
I'm not really. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I had a wheelbarrow fall off a truck. I was traveling on LaGrange Road, and we're probably going 30, 35 miles an hour, and I saw it start to come, and I had to, in a split second, try to decide which way, when it hit the concrete, which way it was going to bounce.
Yeah, that's hard to judge that.
Oh, very much so. So fortunately, I also had some clearance around me, and so I kind of went to the left, and it bounced straight, and if I had stayed straight, this huge wheelbarrow and would have hit me probably, and the truck just kept on going.
Oh, no. That's terrible. That's awful. So you could see it slowly sliding off, and you knew we're about 5 seconds from impact. I got to get out of the way. Wow.
Yeah, they hit a bump in the road, and that was what jarred it loose. And like I say, I don't know how many seconds it was, but it was very short. Oh. And had to make that decision, and my heart was racing, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Wow.
Yes.
Well, glad you're okay.
Oh, thank you. Me too. I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Helen.
All right. We want another phone call here about this. This is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
We're good.
So here's my story, and I'm trying to remember all the details so I can make this interesting, but I was on, I think it was 394, and there was a huge piece of debris in the road that I maneuvered around, but I thought, oh, that's so dangerous. Someone should remove it. And as I'm driving in my car on the highway, using my hands-free, I called the non-emergency number, and as I got a hold of the correct person, he says, well, what mile marker was it? And I said, oh, I don't know that. I can tell you I got on at this exit. It's between this exit and that exit, but I don't have a mile marker. And he says, well, can you go back and get the mile marker?
Sure.
I said, no, I'm already on 294. I'm on a different highway. And he says, well, if you can't give us the mile marker, we can't go and get it. And
right. If you knew the entrance and exit of how to get on the highway, they could easily figure that out.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. And, you know, what was I going to do? I was miles away at this point, but I thought, well, that's dangerous and lazy.
Yeah, it is.
That was the excuse.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. We're glad you're okay, too.
Yeah, I tried. I did the best I could.
You did do it. It's their fault. It's IDOT, not idiot. What's wrong with those people? All right. Well,
maybe it was confusing because it was between Indiana and Illinois.
All right. Maybe that was it. You're being kind, but all right, maybe. Well, thank you, Chris. That's terrible.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. And finally, Dave, what'd you see on the road?
I didn't. A buddy of mine who drinks just a little bit too much actually found a keg of beer full. So he brought it home, chilled it, tapped it, and drank it.
Oh.
That's the answer. And
quick,
you know
thinking.
What? You made the highway safer for whoever else was to follow.
Not really. He was driving drunk.
Well, then that's a really bad story.
Ugly.
Thank you, Dave. All right, listen to this. Wendy the Tattletale. Sure, call the workers' company and he gets fired for Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You're not being a tattletale. You're potentially saving lives.
I'm not calling.
What if this guy... No, you should call.
I'm not calling. You call.
I'll call him.
I'm not calling. I'm just trying to do the right thing.
It doesn't make you a tattletale. It's just it's your way of saying, if this is a guy who's prone to this sort of thing, make sure he's affixing the ladders a little better to the truck.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, but no. As Dylan, my son, said to me, the wisdom of a 13, almost 14-year-old boy, he said, Mom, I'll bet he'll never do that again.
You'd hope.
I mean, really, that was a scare to him.
Right.
I think he even forgot to put the car in park when he ran out to get the ladder.
Maybe.
He was so nervous.
Ugh. That's awful.
I'm not calling. I'm not ruining anybody's Christmas.
You're not a tattletale.
That's it. Be careful. Look for falling ladders off a window and gutter trucks. That's it.
A good lesson for everybody. Let's take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And a man was shot and killed today after he struck a group of pedestrians with a car. Then get out and cut people with a butcher knife on the campus of Ohio State University. This, according to university officials, and our own Ryan Burrow is there live. You just arrived there, huh?
Yeah, I did. And it's kind of weird being on Ohio State University's campus because there's really not a lot of action going on. You know, this would be a day when a lot of students would be back to class, trying to get back into the swing of things after the long holiday period. But classes have been canceled today, so... we don't see a lot of free movement going on around campus. Not that people can't move around. It's not that people are locked up in their rooms, but there's just nowhere to go to at this point. All the classes have been canceled.
There was a big game over the weekend, too, a big football game, wasn't there?
Yeah there was. Actually, I'm in the shadow right now at the Horseshoe, Ohio State against Michigan. Ohio State won in a thrilling overtime game that should, in theory, assure them a playoff position in the postseason, though they don't make the Big Ten championship for some very odd reasons we won't get into. But, yeah, coming off of that high, that big, exciting conference win, you think that the students would be anxious to get back and kind of celebrate together and kind of push through the back end of this semester. But instead, tragedy here today. As you mentioned, as far as we know at this point, one single person driving up into a pretty heavily walked area, a lot of foot traffic. We even see some bikes in that area, and apparently stopped the vehicle after hitting some people. We don't know exactly how many, if it was people dodging out of the way who got hurt, and then jumped out of the vehicle with a butcher's knife and started cutting people, multiple people. You know, one of the witnesses here says that actually the fact that there were so many people in the area may have helped because it made it difficult for the attacker to focus. But within a minute of this attack beginning, a police officer arrived, and within a minute of arriving, the police officer fatally shot this suspect. So we do not know a name at this point. We are hearing from ABC that this person may have been a Somali national, born in the United States, lived in the United States, an OSU student. That's all we have at this point. We don't have a name, motive, anything of that nature.
Ryan, initial reports, they at first said active shooting situation, and then later that was updated. There was no actual gun. He was stabbing people. Why did it play out that way? Why were we told active shooter?
You know, we obviously there were shots fired from the officer, but it's interesting because when you actually hear the university explain the sequence of events, the officer who arrived is the one who announces back to dispatch that there's an active shooter situation. Now, you know, when you pull up to a scene and there are dozens of people scattering from an attacker, you know, I guess better safe than sorry to call it an active shooter situation. Obviously, people were getting hurt. But no, at this point, it was not anyone other than the attacker himself who apparently was shot.
Do you know the police officer who took down the perpetrator? This was campus police or otherwise, do you know?
Campus police. Do not know this officer's name at this point. Witnesses say this this officer saved lives by reacting so quickly and essentially ending this gunman's life or this attacker's life with it sounds like multiple gunshots. So we will hopefully get a little bit more information. We're actually being told there will be another press event coming up here probably by about 4 o'clock Eastern time, so 3 o'clock your time. So hopefully in the next hour or so, maybe some of these questions about the attacker, about the officer, and about the situation that kind of led to this will be a little clearer.
So the campus police officer you said arrived within a minute. Did he happen to be out there as this car ended up on the walkway?
It appears to be the case. We know that the first call of some kind of attack came at 9:52 Eastern time, and there was a police officer at the scene engaging this person by 9:53. So pretty quick response. Wow. And we don't know if that person, if that officer just happened to be in the area, if that officer was patrolling, if that officer caught wind of something going on and was there for a reason. We're not exactly sure at this point, but you can imagine a very chaotic scene while all of this is going on with the vehicle, with the butcher's knife, with people running all over the place, and just think about how quickly it ended. It sounds like 2 minutes. So,
wow.
So those people who are witnessing it from afar, I'm sure it's just an absolute blur what happened.
And you know, a car goes up on a walkway. You can't even figure out what's happening. Did someone injure? Did someone have a heart attack and drive up on the walkway? I mean, you can't wrap your head around it so quickly. And then someone gets out with a knife and lunges at you.
Yeah, and among the injuries right now, that we know that 9 people sent to the hospital. Among the injuries, knife wounds, as well as people who had been involved in that, the pedestrian incident with the car. We don't know if it was people getting hit by the car, if it was people diving out of the way. But the good news is, at least at this point, it appears as though all of the injuries are non-life-threatening. One person taken to a hospital said to be in critical condition, but at this point, it seems like all of these victims will survive.
That's great news. Any mention at all about an alert that went out to students via an app or on their cell phones? Any text message alert that went out?
Yeah, it was called the Buckeye Alert because they are the Ohio State Buckeyes, and that went out pretty quickly. And if you look at some of the response, students acted and staff acted pretty quickly. Some students barricading themselves in classrooms because, remember, at that point, they were under the impression it was an active shooter. And there are some Twitter photos of students who actually barricaded doors with chairs while they waited the all clear. Students who were diving into offices and some incredible tales that I'm sure we're going to hear more and more about as the situation unfolds. But, you know, everyone's got a smartphone now, so everyone's taking pictures. Everyone's taking video. And to be honest with you, at this point, it looks like people made the right call and, you know, put the phone away and got out of harm's way before trying to take video. So that's good news. You always worry about that people are so busy trying to take pictures and video, they forget to keep themselves safe. But at this point, it seems the alert went out fine, and whether it was text message or Twitter or emails, everyone seems to have gotten the message fairly quickly, although the situation, happened very quickly.
Ryan, the school acted fast. Ohio State acted fast to cancel classes for today, which was expected. But as far as you know, it's business as usual tomorrow. Classes will resume tomorrow.
It seems like it. And I checked on the sports site as well to see if maybe they had canceled any sporting events. Doesn't look like there were any sporting events. Remember, there are a lot of kids who are just getting back from class, getting back
sure.
to school today, getting back on the campus. So, the questions that remain, Bill and Wendy, are what is the motivation? Who was this person? And of course, we would like to hear a little bit about the backstory of the officer who fatally shot this attacker.
Well, thank you so much for the update. We look forward to getting more information as it develops. Ryan Burrow, live at Ohio State University. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Take care, guys.
Wow, what a day.
It's really scary.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy, your husband is a professor there?
Hi, yes. Good afternoon. So the only detail I think that, and he's a professor in Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations, and the only other detail I had to add, I was on the phone part of the time, so I'm not sure if the gentleman reported on this. There was supposedly some sort of a fire alarm or a gas alarm, which sent the students out into the street, and that's why they were sort of collected there in that spot when the person ran into
And it is being reported he is a Somali refugee who then ran into the group of students. And just to add one more detail, like he, so I teach at Notre Dame, and so I was in class and he kept calling, and I was thinking, why is he bothering me during class? But that's right when the alert came out. It hadn't even made the news. It was 9:56. So they were like on it, Eastern Standard Time, so they were on it right away. But yeah, those, so yeah, they kept them in their offices, and then they said, all clear, you can go home, you can stay, like the professor. So I don't know. I'm sure they sent all the students home.
I did hear the reports about the fire alarm being pulled, which has you wonder if there was someone else involved or if he parked somewhere, pulled an alarm, got back in his car. I think we'll find out more as they get more information, obviously. But glad your husband's okay, Kathy.
Thanks. It was nice to finally talk to you guys. I listen all the time.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. We appreciate it. Have a good rest of the week.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
How scary, man.
Terribly.
So there was a student witness, one of the first guys we heard on ABC and was playing earlier, who said that he came upon the crowd of people outside the building.
Yeah.
And that they had, someone had pulled the fire alarm in there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's been fully supported yet by Ohio State officials. It may or may not be true, but a lot of times things in the heat of the moment turn out not to be as they first are imagined by people. So I don't know if that's the case. I mean, that's what the report was. It doesn't quite fit then that someone, if he acted alone, would go get in a car and drive from away from there.
Yeah, that's what
into
I mean.
The crowd. So that doesn't all add up.
And as of course, as we realized, active shooter was reported originally as well. And as we get more information, we'll be able to put the puzzle pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
Still very scary. You know, there's
no doubt about that.
Nowhere that's safe anymore.
All right, we will take a break. Steve has the news, and then we. Oh, Steve's news is in 15 minutes, but we have a lot more show for you in the meantime.
No, we really don't.
No, we really don't. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. We were talking about the Ohio State University, I want to say shooting because that's what we heard this morning, but knifing.
A stabbing.
A stabbing and a car driving up on the pavement on a walkway. And at this point, 9 people injured, 1 in critical condition. But as Ryan Burrow pointed out, it appears everyone is going to survive, which is great news.
Other than the stabber.
He was taken down in record time, in like 1 to 2 minutes.
There was an officer nearby investigating a gas leak. So once the call came in, there was a police officer very close by.
All right. And Philip, you have a comment?
Yes, I do. It seems rather interesting to me that somebody pulled a fire alarm, forcing students to exit a building so they could put them in harm's way from that vehicle crashing.
Right. Now, those were initial reports, and now we're not 100% certain if a fire alarm was pulled. Because it does seem very bizarre.
Yeah, I heard that there were a large number of students exiting the building for that reason.
We heard that as well, but I don't know if that's been 100% confirmed. So,
and that could be related to the potential gas leak as well.
Could be.
Yeah, someone else was texting Steve that the alarm went off because of the gas leak, not that anyone pulled it. So, Philip, I'm sure we'll have more information within the next hour or so.
That would make much more sense.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Thank you, Philip. I agree with you, though, that if a fire alarm was pulled, it would mean it was someone else involved, because how could he pull the alarm, get in his car, drive? It just seems like that would be too much.
It's possible.
I mean, anything's possible.
Right.
Mike wants to talk about this. Hi, Mike. Your son goes to this college?
He does. He goes to Ohio State. In fact, I didn't even realize how freaked out I was until I called in.
You didn't know the extent of the details?
Well, I got a text from him about the same time as I got the Buckeye alert, and he said he was fine.
And you didn't know at that time what he was fine all about, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Mike, my heart breaks because this has to be just so scary. You send your kid away to school and hoping he's going to be safe and to get this alert, but you have talked to him. Everything's good.
He and his roommates, they're juniors and seniors, so, you know, they're not up that early.
Thank God.
Later classes, so they all just stayed in their apartment.
Mike, with this Buckeye alert, what happens is, I guess you have the option, right, of only your son, who's a student there, getting the texts, or if it extends on to you and maybe his mother as well, huh?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And they also send emails. I've been getting messages all day long.
What are the messages saying? Just essentially that it's under control and they're looking into it. Is that what they're telling you?
Right. And it was pretty soon after that they told us that the lockdown, that they could leave the buildings they were in.
Yeah.
I think they knew more. They knew what was going on long before, you know, we got anything.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were on top of it. The kids had a lot of rumors that, you know, that just happened. But the Buckeye messages were all pretty calming.
Yeah, I bet. I hope so. And have you haven't physically spoken to your son. It's just been through way of text so far, right?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. I'm anxious to know if this is the kind of thing that he found out about after it was already done, or exactly how spontaneous all these alerts were coming into him.
It must have been right away, because I got an I'm fine text really quick.
It's really scary. And, you know, Bill, you have kids away at school. Mike, you do too. I haven't sent mine to college yet. And you just don't know.
Nope. No, and it's a big school. And who knows? What? Who knows why or anything like that? So, I mean, you know, the thoughts in your head are crazy. I'm just glad it's all good now.
I'm glad he's all right.
Yep. Yeah, me too.
Thank you for calling, Mike.
All right. Bye.
You can tell how shaken up he is. I can't even imagine. First, you get the alert.
Yeah.
And then you start freaking out until you hear from your kid.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine what would be more frightening. So,
well, more on that as it develops, because more information is coming out about the person who had the butcher knife, and we'll keep you posted as we always do here on 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. All right. Earlier today, we were talking about the recount of the presidential votes in three key states.
Right.
This was called for by Jill Stein.
From the Green Party.
Yes. And I don't get the whole thing. Even if they do find out that Hillary Clinton got more votes, they're not going to change what already happened.
Right.
President-elect Donald Trump, that's who it is. Paul Lisnick on the line with us right now, political analyst at CLTV News and WGN. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, guys. It sounds like you're trying to add logic to this process.
Yeah, there's no room for logic,
sure,
is there?
So first of all, this was brought up. You saw over the weekend that Hillary Clinton had certain deadlines that if she wanted to demand a recount, she could do it.
Right.
Nothing coming from her. All of a sudden, it seems out of the blue, Jill Stein says, yeah, maybe we should do that.
Yeah. Well, look, Trump supporter reactions are, this is crazy. What are they doing? This makes no sense. But when you try and look at it a little more neutrally, what Jill Stein has chosen to do, Jill Stein isn't doing this to win the election. That's not what it's about. Her reaction, what she's saying publicly is, there's been a lot of call, that there's been hacking, that there have been problems. Let's just test the integrity of the system, and let's just make sure everything was as it should be, even if nothing changes. So is it a waste of money? Probably. Is anything going to change? Probably not. Will it give some peace of mind to people who just will always feel like there was something going on and the conspiracy theories will build? Maybe it'll put that to rest, and there's some value in that.
When you say it's going to cost some money, it's to the tune of somewhere between $6 to $8 million. Is that right, Paul?
Well, she's raised $5 million so far. We actually don't know. Wisconsin is the one that's already sort of granted the recount, and they haven't said how much that amount is going to be yet.
Yeah.
I've heard it will be $3 million, so probably so. And again, people are making these donations. The most they can give is $2,700. This isn't billionaires who are giving to this process. To me, the fascinating part of this story is Trump's reaction over the weekend and all the tweets basically saying he would have won the popular vote too, except that was rigged. So with him adding that, I won't judge it, with him adding those tweets to the process, it raises sort of the question of going, well, wait, then maybe we really should be doing these recounts, because, you know, he's stirring the pot himself. So let's put it to bed with this.
But I'm sure everybody remembers this, but prior to the election, he was already shouting about how the election is rigged anyway.
Unless
he ended up. Right. He ended up winning. So that was quickly quieted down. But if he can believe that, why can't anyone else believe it?
Well, I mean, I think that's it. I mean, there are conspiracy theorists out there. This is the kind of thing that gains traction in time. So once again, while it's probably a waste of time in terms of what the results are, I mean, there'll be some shifts in the ballots because I'm sure they're not perfect. Will it give Wisconsin? Listen, Wisconsin's the best shot she has. If it gives Wisconsin to her, where there's a $21,000 difference, a 21,000 vote difference, interesting. But they're calling for it in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania has its own requirements of every district has to request it,
right.
And it's very complicated. And the difference there was like 68,000 votes, so it's just not going to change the results of the election. But hey, let's put it this way: what if they start doing some of these recounts and they do find that there was hacking, that there was something torrid going on in this process and system? You know, we at least need to know that.
So what would they do differently in the recount that they didn't do the first time around when they tabulated the votes?
Well, what they could do differently and what they will do differently are two different things. Apparently, what they're going to do in Wisconsin, or so it's said, is that they're going to basically recount it the way they recounted it before. Wisconsin has paper ballots, and whatever, machine they sort of use to do that stuff at the end, they're simply going to be doing it again. They could go through and literally count paper ballot by paper ballot. Apparently, that's not what they plan to do. So, again, but I imagine what they're really looking for is there something a little haywire in the system, something that triggers or signals that something just isn't right, totals that don't add up by significant numbers.
All right, Joe has a question, and this is, I think, what my problem is. Joe, here's your question. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. My question is, the electoral votes that are in each of these states, when the people or the majority of the people in the state vote for one politician over the other, aren't the electoral votes supposed to go with the majority?
Well, Joe, that's a great question, and the answer is not necessarily. The electors can do what they want. Now, there are 29 states that do not permit electors to do other than what they're required to do. And in an affirmative way, there's 24 states that require electors to do what they're required to do. But here's what you have to remember. These are not random people they found off the street who don't care who won, and so who knows what they'll say. These are the electors. When you actually vote in your election, you're actually voting for electors, a slate of people who are basically picked politically to represent that candidate. So when it's time for the Electoral College to meet on December 19th, they're going to be Trump people there who are going to be then casting their ballots. And so the odds of them not going for Trump, pretty small. This is why you probably heard about that effort there is around the country to basically be a constitutional amendment, way too difficult. So there's this effort to have state by state pass a law that says we will follow the Electoral College. Sorry, we will follow the popular vote when we show up at the Electoral College vote. Right now they have 10 states, about 165, I think, ballots until they hit 270, the number of states that support it won't make much difference. But that may be a possible road to go on.
Yeah, I just thought the majority of the people, obviously, they don't have to say so, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. But I understand when you have states that have large amounts of people, like City of Chicago and New York, the population there will overwhelm a lot of the states. But if the delegate has the majority of the vote, it just seems kind of stupid not to go with what the people are voting for.
I know, Joe, it's counterintuitive, but here's the thing. Number one, and I think on the day after the election, guys, we talked about this. When you look at Illinois, among the United States, we're a sea of blue in a world of red.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually look at the Illinois map, we're a sea of red,
yeah,
with a couple of pockets of blue, which is the Chicago, Cook County area, and a couple of little downstate areas and a couple of others. So we're primarily a very red state as well. But those populous counties, which you're talking about, Joe, mm-hmm, that's where all the votes come from. Look, Hillary Clinton is 2 billion votes ahead, but a lot of that's coming from the state of California. So, there are explanations, and that's why I think you have Donald Trump tweeting, well, I could have won California if it was all about the popular vote. If that's what I was after, I just chose not to do it. Okay.
And all the, immigrants and dead people, is that who voted for Hillary?
Well,
I can't remember what he tweeted out.
Yeah, well, I think his comment was just that it was a lot of, no, I think it's illegal.
Illegal, yes.
It's just illegals, and so, again, you do a couple of recounts here and there, and you find out if any of that stuff happened, and you put it to bed.
Joe, thank you very much. Okay, so here's the question, though. Paul, what if they do this recount and they find out, whoa, something went wrong. It turns out Hillary did win. There are two things. One is the Trump people will never, ever agree to that because they'll say, oh, they've hacked it now. They didn't have a chance to hack it in the first place. And how do you take away his office? I know he hasn't been sworn in yet, but you can't change things, although, like
they
I said, anything
Vanessa
can happen.
Vanessa Williams' crown is Miss America, Wendy. Anything can happen. Come on.
And I'm still not over that.
Me neither.
But you know what I mean? They're not going to all of a sudden go, okay, wait a minute, special announcement. AP sends alerts to everybody. There's been a miscalculation. It turns out Hillary Clinton wins. They're not going to do that.
Well, look, the closest we came to having turmoil was, of course, in the year 2000, right? It couldn't have been any more tumultuous than that, and we're not headed towards that kind of situation. But if it turns out, I mean, look, here's the thing. The Wisconsin recount has to happen. It's going to happen, I think, in the next week or so because they report their final numbers. I think it's December 3rd or 6th, and everything has to be done prior to the Electoral College. So, you know, the point is if they redo the numbers and they find out, no, wait a minute, Hillary Clinton actually won. Let's just say that's what happens. Then they can certify the numbers for Hillary and the delegates. Hillary may go in. I mean, the Wisconsin may go in the Hillary column. But that doesn't change the election. I mean, the reason that Jill Stein filed in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, because you'd have to have that happen in all of those states to even get something going. And if you want to play it out and say, all right, let's say she's right, and all three states actually go Clinton, and it turns out there were problems and mistakes and hacking and illegals and whatever, we have a constitutional crisis on our hands, because there won't just be a, oh, well, it's done, too late. It will end up in litigation and lawsuits. It will make its way to the Supreme Court. And what's fascinating there is you only have eight people sitting on the Supreme Court. So if you have the liberals splitting and saying, give it to Hillary because it's the right answer, and the conservatives saying, now nah, let's give it to Trump, then the lower ruling would stand, and we don't have any lower rulings, but that's what would end up being the final decision in that case.
Are you surprised there isn't more press? And we talked about it with you, Paul, the day after the election, of the worthiness or lack of with the Electoral College. I thought there would be a huge outcry to finally do away with it, but that really hasn't emerged much, has it?
Well, there should have been an outcry back in 2000, and there was. But if you didn't get a constitutional change after 2000, I don't know when you're going to get one. Again, you know, you'd have to have the legislature has to pass it by, I think it's 3/5, and then it's got to go to all the states. And I mean, it can happen. It can be done. But here's the thing. As soon as you do that, it's not as though everybody goes, yeah, it's a great idea. You have small states who say, wait a minute, the whole reason this Electoral College was put into place, one of the reasons, was because small states like us would get no attention
back then.
You know,
but now
then,
it's changed.
Well, I don't know. Would candidates go to South Dakota and spend time in Oklahoma and some of these small states? Of course, they don't do it now when they're sort of decidedly red anyway, or decidedly blue. So you have some of the same issues. But I mean, I think that's the concern smaller states would have. You know, that's one of the problems.
It's certainly
outdated.
I can't think of anything else, not just politics, but anything else in the world, where if you're having a contest based on majority ruling, a majority does rule, it still doesn't matter.
That is the primary reason for getting rid of the Electoral College. What we didn't have many years ago was the technology to do what we do today, which is count the votes and get them done quickly.
Yeah.
And so it makes no sense to anybody to sit around and going, well, wait a minute. I mean, it makes sense to Trump people, but you know, if you're a Hillary supporter, you're going, she's 2 million votes ahead of him in the popular vote, and she's not president. Al Gore, 500 votes ahead of George Bush, and he's not president. You do have to sit back and say, is this the proper system? At least have a discussion.
And I'll be honest with you, if Donald Trump won the popular vote by 2 million and did not win the election,
if Trump won, well, you're saying, oh, so
no,
Trump doesn't
I'm saying,
win in your scenario?
Yes. In my scenario, Hillary Clinton walks away with the win, but yet Trump is 2,000 ahead in the popular vote. I would say that was unacceptable as well.
Yeah,
because what you're saying, it's a popular vote. There's no question about it. But here's
it
what
should
I think.
Be closer,
you know what it
at
should
least.
Say? Look, there are ways of creating peace, and I don't know whether they're going to happen here. If Donald Trump chose to, he could take a high road and say, you know what? I see it. The popular vote is heavily for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And so what I want to do in that regard, because I want to be president for all the people, I'm going to appoint to my cabinet one or two people, not that they're wide-eyed liberals, but I'm going to appoint two people as respect, as homage to the Democrats, to the half this, more than half this country that didn't vote for me. I want you to see that I'm conscious of reaching out to your agenda too. Because right now, for example, with Jeff Sessions Attorney General, if I'm a progressive liberal, a Hillary person, I'm panicking over that. You know, we're waiting for Secretary of State. Now General Petraeus, his name is in the mix, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. He's certainly a competent guy, but, you know, here was a
Got
guy who
history.
Actually was disciplined, so to speak, for giving away, you know,
emails.
Yeah, confidential information and classified information, and this he could end up being Secretary
of
State.
Isn't that a hoot?
That's
well,
what
you know, Donald Trump always felt that what Petraeus did wasn't nearly as bad as what Hillary did, so he'll certainly be able to explain that away, but, you know, it remains to be seen. And I think, listen, Kellyanne Conway, I know I'm changing the topic here, but Kellyanne Conway coming out this weekend, I was shocked at how strong she was in her anti-Romney comments.
Yeah, can't stand Mitt Romney. How about that?
Yeah, and I'm kind of going, I mean, that had to be rogue for a while. Obviously, Trump is the only one who knows what he's going to do, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who are concerned about the international stage and who believe that Mitt Romney would be a very comfortable pick. He's Republican. He's got all the, you know, many of the credentials to do it. He speaks French, and he's somebody who has the right temperament for interacting with world leaders. You may love Rudy Giuliani, but you can't describe him that way.
Yeah.
And to just say he's Secretary of State because he was loyal to Romney he was loyal to Trump when Romney wasn't. Come on, dude. You're about to be president. Just make the right decisions.
How are you for time, Paul?
No, I got time.
All right, we're going to take
I'm not on until 5:30.
Oh, okay.
All right, he's Paul Lisnick, and he's on CLTV and WGN-TV News. We're going to take a quick break, and we have some calls here, 312-981-7200. It's Bill, Wendy, 720 WGN.
Paul Lisnick is here from WGN-TV, from CLTV. He's the host of Politics Tonight. We're trying to figure out what exactly is going on. Is there a chance of a recount, and will it matter? If you want to call or text us, 312-981-7200.
And, Paul, we have a couple of good questions for you. First one from Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Paul Lisnick with us.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, got a quick question. I was just wondering, in regards to these recounts, you know, I know Jill Stein's asking for the recounts in those three states, but who's actually responsible for the cost of that, cost of the actual recount? Is it the person asking for it? Or is that going to be covered under the, state that has to do the recount itself?
No, she's the person asking for it. So she's been raising money, and she's already raised $5 million. So, yeah, she's not coming hat in hand with nothing there and just go, hey, Wisconsin, do your recount. They'll get the bill, and they will cover it.
Okay, good. I just didn't want the taxpayers to have to pay for some possible frivolous.
No, it's done by donations. The limit is $2,700 per person. So, as I said a little bit earlier, this is not a matter of, like, you know, which billionaire is out there trying to fund this and make it happen. That's not what's doing it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So, Paul, what you have there is the lady who is the candidate for the Green Party essentially having to go to Democrats. I have to think it's more Democrats than Green Party people who are putting up this money, don't you think?
Well, probably. Well, it's certainly not Republican Trump supporters, right?
Right.
They don't want it. Although, right. I'd have to – this is a good time since you mentioned Jill Stein. She was on my show a couple of times in Politics Tonight. And towards the end of the campaign, she was here, and I said, you know, Dr. Stein, I got to ask you. Look, you're polling at like 2% in the polls. Don't you at some point, you know, worry that's enough to kind of tilt an election in a certain state?
Yeah.
And when do you sort of give up? And her answer was, well, see, Paul, these polls are wrong. They all are polling likely voters. We're going after the unlikely voters.
Interesting.
I thought, yeah, so you all the people that won't vote are in your corner. Good
right.
for you.
That's who you want.
That's who you want. You want the people that don't actually vote.
Right.
I don't know if we actually have an answer for this question, Al, but it's interesting to think about. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask Mr. Lisnick, maybe he knows the answer or not, what would happen if it comes out that Hillary actually won the election? What would happen? What would the effect be on the stock market? Because it looks like the market looks like they expect Trump to be president. And they have a reversal, say, in December or January. I don't know. You know, should I take my money out of the stock market and just hold on until the actual inauguration?
Look, I actually know of some people that took their money out of the stock market on election night because of the Trump victory. And, of course, we all know what happened. The market dropped 700-800 points and then bounced back. to level highs. So looks like the market has adjusted. This is probably the sign that business people think that regardless of what else Trump might do in office, he'll be good for business. And you know, with infrastructure bills and the kind of thing he wants to pursue, that would be probably where he's headed. So, and if you're talking about taking the money out, I'm not Terry Savage, but if you're talking about taking the money, although you should save money, she would say. But if you're talking about taking your money out of the market, you know, because Hillary might be declared a winner, I don't think you need to worry about that.
Yeah.
And that I'm going to say, not as a financial person, but as a political analyst, that ain't happening.
Thank you, Al. And thank you, Paul Liznick. You're on tonight, 5:30, Politics Tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the same topic tonight on my show with an election expert.
You want Wendy and I to come on?
Yeah, well, you guys are now experts on that.
Right,
I'm actually thinking
on.
Of having Jeff and Al come on from the questions.
That'd be good.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul, tonight on CLTV, and he's on WGN-TV, political analyst extraordinaire.
He is all that and
jeez.
More. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then Roe and Anna will be by. We'll find out what they have next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.